Blog Talk Radio.
You could be vacuuming out the car and driving down the road, texting, talking to your mama,
and doing business on your phone, you know. So I just, you know, I say I'm going to make sure I'm not, everybody knows I'm not recommending you do that. But I'm just saying that just think about when we have 100% of our brain working. You know what I'm saying? 100% of it. Wow, what's that going to be like? That's going to be like absolutely amazing. And so when we start getting a hold of that, I'm wiping off the camera a little bit because it's just hard to see. So when you start realizing how short we come of the glory, I mean, it says that sin is coming short of the glory. Well, that's for sure, right? That's why we're trying to find ways to deal with our DNA and the bloodline and all that, because when you deal with the bloodline of DNA, you know, it's all about sin, you know, because sin brings us short of the glory. So what kind of sin is that? Is that just the sin that you're committing at times, you know, whether it be little or big? No, I think it's the sins of the fathers. I think there's things that are, I heard someone say this, I think last night, and then I heard other people talk about this a little bit before. I've tried to absorb the information, you know, but it's like a revelation. I can't really share it, you know, with a whole heart, but I can tell you at least where I got the information from. And I will do that as I go along here. But, you know, so I've heard different people say that your blood cells and all your muscles, everything has, your blood has memories, right? Your blood has memories. And so if that's true, then if it got passed down, if your blood got passed down to you, future generation, from past generations, then, you know, I mean, think about that. Think about all the memories that are in there, in the bloodline. If your DNA and your cells have memories, and we know that we have received, you know, from our fathers, whether we wanted to or not, some type of memory of their failures, of their sins, of their stuff. You know, they might have got saved or right with God, but maybe they didn't get their DNA clean. I don't know where we're going to go with all this stuff, but we're going to find out what God wants to do with this, and we're going to work it, and we're going to believe God to absolutely take this thing to a whole other level. And I just think it's something that the move of God. I think it's the move of God. I think this is happening. This is a move of God, and we're going to see it transfer into a thing that we've never seen before in the earth. I think we're going to see. We've had people talk about DNA. I've heard people talk about it a little bit many, many years ago about iniquities and the whole thing. But I think that thanks to them, thanks to their revelation and things that they've taught, and you know, revelation from God, and put it into the earth and put it into the body of Christ, that somehow maybe we will be able to take it from there. I don't know. I want to give credit where credit's due. But we got to realize one thing, friend, is that, you know, if it's true, and I know it does, I know it's true, but I don't know if I can prove it or not right now, but there's a lot of people that are saying this. These are a lot of well-known people, I think, that are saying this kind of thing, you know, that your cells have memories. Well, if they have memories, then what's in those memories? What's there in those memories? Right? What's there? Well, obviously, the blood cries out, so it talks to you. Your blood gives you desires. That's what talking is. Your blood gives you a passion for certain things, you know. And your father and mother and father may have been pretty clean people, but the fathers before them and the fathers before them. Who knows? We don't know. And so we're gonna dive into this as God gives it. I mean, I will share it with you, that we're going to see how that we're going to step into a place, I believe, that no one in the bloodline arena, in the DNA, in the genetic codes, have ever stepped into before. Right? We talked about Hitler. Hitler knew about the DNA, right? He tried to raise up a generation of pure breeds. So he would find a mother and a man and a woman, and he'd check out their genetic codes, you know, their the memories written down and, you know, what was your grandfather like, what was your father like, and all the medical records. What are medical records? They're memories. Medical records are memories, if you will, proof of the past. And so they knew enough even back then to look at what gifts that they had, what great talents that they had, and they would put them together with a man and a woman. They would put them together because they knew that the genetic code had something to do with it. Now, it didn't work. You know, he was a crazy guy, but he ended up being a demon field. No question about that one. But so what I'm saying is that if this information is out there, then maybe you and I, maybe the body of Christ, maybe the prophets and the teachers and the revelators, obviously through some of these people, that lady that Deborah talked about, I can't think of her name right now, but the lady that she talked about who's been talking about this stuff a lot. Now, that's kind of blown a lot of people's mind. It blows my mind. I tried to listen to it a few times, and it's just like, it's really cool, but I couldn't grasp it, you know, like I wanted to. And so, you know, I think we're going to see a real move of God with understanding and revelation on how to truly deal with this. And why, we talked about this the last few days, why when people get healed in a healing meeting, with the healing gets flowing, why does that disease grow back 6 months later or whatever? Well, because it's in the DNA. Something's telling it, there's a memory there of some sort of some sin or some disease that came through some sin through some generation, and it's there, and it's speaking, and it's saying, bringing forth that disease. So how do we deal with that? We deal with it at the root level, and we speak forgiveness. And that's why I think one of the reasons that God has told us, has spoken to me personally about taking communion, you know, every day, is a little bit deeper than I even realized. And I think that's where most of the revelation that's come to me personally has come from, taking communion. Because, you know, a few years ago, you guys remember, I talked about how that this movie that we saw that was out there called Limitless, I think is what it was called, and it was about a story about how they created this clear pill, and it wasn't a drug, but it was something when you took it, it activated 100% of your mind, and, you know, all of a sudden, people who couldn't get a job done got it done in, you know, in an hour, in 5 minutes, or everyone, they couldn't get it done all day long. And they were just, you know, so their brain would kick in 100%, and they could do things that were miraculous. And so I told you guys even back then, because God used that to speak to me and say, this is what, remember, some of y'all might remember this. I said, this is what communion is like. And I didn't even really know what I was saying. It sounded a little bit crazy at the time. But now that I'm learning more about this, even now, personally from the Lord, the things I'm learning personally from the Lord, is opening me up to the fact that communion is why it is that communion does that for us, why it is part of the process of activating our minds, our brains, 100% in Christ Jesus, right? So we can, what is the blessing, what's the blessing of God? The blessing of God is, one of the blessings is work less and make more. Or work less and get more done. Let's just put it that way. Work instead of working 8 hours, you can work in 1 hour and get done in 1 hour what it normally takes you 8 hours to do. Right? You just like in the movie, what happened was that this guy, when his brain kicked in, he could write a whole book. He'd been trying to write a book for, I don't know, months and months, and his publisher was getting upset with him, just kind of basically gave up on him because he was like, you know, duh, he couldn't even think of anything, hadn't written hardly anything, you know, and his publisher was about ready to just say, hey, you know, put pressure on him, come on, man, and so when he took the pill, he wrote the book in one day or just in a few hours, the whole thing, and the woman was, the publisher was amazed. He said, where did you steal this from? This can't be you. This is unbelievable. And so it ended up being that, you know, that's so the Lord took all that information and just transferred it in me and interpreted it inside of me spiritually, scripturally, which is what he does with a lot of things, and says, this is what communion does. And I'm going like, that's what communion does? What do you mean by that? You know what? Communion, you mean you want me to get some clear bread and drink clear juice? What are you saying? You know, what do you mean? And so I began to realize that what he was saying was, now I'm seeing it, is that when we eat his flesh and drink his blood, that is the recreative power of God in his flesh, the recreative power of God, the creative power of God. And through the Word, blessed is the Word was made flesh. And then the blood is the power to forgive the sins of the fathers. But here's what we got to do. We got to start applying it. Somehow God's going to show us how to apply it. In fact, we're going to do that tonight when we take communion. We're going to apply. I'm going to speak some things over us tonight as we take communion in the light of some understanding I got today over the last few days. And begin to speak to your bloodline and begin to deal with it from the sins of the fathers. No, I'm not saying your granddaddy was a bad boy. Could have been a bad boy, but he probably wasn't, right? Yeah, or something. We're not even talking about that. So we're talking about things that people do that they sometimes do when they're young, and then they get older and they repent of it and they get right with God and say, and then they never talk about it. But sometimes it's not getting cleansed from the bloodline, or else, you know, most Christians wouldn't have the issues that they have. I have a lot less issues, not because that when I got saved that I got really better saved than some others, deeper saved. You know, it's because some people I knew that had issues as a born-again believer, I wonder if they were really saved. So what I'm saying is that I had a problem with that. I'm going, what is wrong with you, man? Like, they would just do things like, you know, that I knew was not right, and I'm watching them doing it, and they just like, okay, man, sorry, man. You know, I know you don't do this, but yeah, forgive me. Well, man, you're forgiven, but I mean, are you saved? I'm thinking, are they saved? And so I realized that maybe some of the DNA that I received, not all of it, of course, there's some pretty nasty stuff in there, you know, I mean, yeah, but it percentage-wise, you know, and comparing, you know, things and watching some people have issues when I didn't have those issues, I thought, well, maybe I just got more saved than I was trying to figure it out. You know, I really wasn't trying to be self-righteous. I just was trying to figure out what the heck is going on around here. And so I began to see and understand that somehow my mom, my kinfolk from my mother's side, which is, I think, where I got most of my stuff, my hair and my body and all that, they were good God-fearing, you know, Baptist people. My great uncle was a popular Baptist preacher of a large church. Everybody just loved him. He was a great man. Everybody just liked the guy. And so I had several preachers in the family that, so I don't know whether they got right with God, they really repented, and God did some cleansing in them. And so when they had children, they blessed their children, and they passed down genetic and DNA, less genetic DNA issues than they would have had they not gotten right with God. They were not perfect by any means. So you see what I'm saying? So I'm starting to understand and think that, you know, that this is an answer for some of the most major problems that you and I have today with not being able to use 100% of our brains because of sin. We come short of the glory. And that's how I started up the service night. It came out of my mouth, it comes short of the glory. So what does it mean, coming short of the glory? Well, short of the glory isn't just the presence of God. It's coming short of the glory of the way God made us in the very beginning. Jesus Christ was an example of a man who never came short of the glory. He used 100% of his brain. He never had sickness and disease. He never sinned. When he was tempted and struggled and went through all kinds of temptation like you and I have, He never failed. He never sinned. He never let his blood be defiled. So that's why tonight when we drink his blood, we're drinking, and we're going to try to activate that tonight to cleanse and wash away genetic DNA issues that have been passed down from generation to generation. Maybe you have a struggle with things that you don't sin, but you struggle with it. Maybe you haven't, since you got saved, you don't sin that sin, right? That particular sin, whatever it would be. But you have, something, you get tempted with it, and it hits you, pretty regularly. You're like, okay, it's Jesus' name. I rebuke that, it's Jesus' name. And you get through it, and you go on, and, a few months later, it's like it's hitting you again. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over that. In the name of Jesus, and you start feeling tempted, you start feeling drawn, and you're going like, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Am I just backsliding? What's going on? Well, no, I think that mostly it is your bloodline, your DNA, your genes, and the weakness and the sins of the fathers in there crying out to do those things. And because you're saved, you can resist it. But the problem is a lot of people get tired of resisting those things, and eventually they fall to it. And they fail, and they sin, and they think, well, there, I finally did it. Well, took 20 years, but there it is. Because it constantly spoke to them. The blood speaks, friend. The blood speaks. And the sooner we get a hold of and really realize how it wasn't just Abel's blood that spoke out of the ground in the book of Genesis, it's your and I blood that cries out from the sins of the fathers that have not been cleansed and washed, that had not been washed away by the blood of Jesus, that are crying out to us to be bent or to do things that we don't really want to do, and we're thinking, why do I even want to do that? I know better, I don't want to do it, but something in me is just calling me. You know what I'm talking about? Don't you dare say you don't know what I'm talking about. I heard that. Not really. So you hear what I'm saying? And some of it is poverty issues. You get a financial breakthrough, and man, you're believing God, you're planting seed, you're tithing, you're giving offerings, you're doing anything, and you just can't seem to, for some reason, what is stopping me from walking in the blessing when I'm doing everything I can to obey God, and I can't seem to reach that goal of being blessed like God and some of the prophets told me I'm going to be, mainly the Word of God. Well, friend, I'm telling you tonight, that's what it is. And we're going to speak forgiveness of sin. People are sending me notes. That offering I sent last week and this week is building fund. Thank you, because you know what that does? By putting that in there, it just doubles the offering. And it doesn't come out of my pocket or, somebody else is doing that because they want to do it. So, hallelujah. Thank you. Yes, I will do that. Yeah. So here's what I'm saying tonight. When we understand that, when you see the big struggle of why God told the Jews not to intermarry, it wasn't because he didn't like the way the Philistine women looked. No, they were probably absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. And it wasn't just because the gods that they served. That was wrong. And it wasn't just because of, some prejudice thing. No, it was because of DNA. Right? We talked about that a little bit last night. And so, so when you understand that and you see why God went to great extremes, because he was looking for a bloodline, some out of it, that he could bring Christ Jesus through, and that's why he chose Abraham. That's the reason he chose him. I mean, Abraham's father was an idolater, but somehow, Abraham was got different genes than his father got, because he didn't really want to be an idolater, Naturally speaking, he probably, should have been, because his father was, and if it's in the, just like me, I didn't get my daddy's, body. I got more of my, I'm not only my mom's body, I got my mom's side of the family, body. I'm not a girl. I'm a man. But I got my mama's side. And my mama's side of the family, you know, the men lose their hair early. And thank God, God sure we had to turn some of that around. But, you know, and my dad was more Indian, and he didn't have any hair on his chest at all. And he had no hair on. He had like one little hair on his chest, maybe two. We used to make fun of that. Oh, Dad, you got two hairs on your chest. You know, it's just the way he was. He was like more Indian than anybody else. But not me. I had more hair. I have, you know, hair on my chest. You know, it just, my body was like my mom's part of the family, right? So you know, that tells you a lot. You know, so when Jesus was speaking over the people and telling them, you know, that he was born of the Father and he was the Son of God, he was saying, my bloodline is pure and I'm going to give my blood. And that's what communion is all about. That's what Passover is all about, is the giving of the blood, the body, the bread, and the blood. And so when you realize that the blood and the body, the both, your body is the fruit of your blood, right? So when you eat the body of Jesus, you're eating the fruit of what his blood produced. You see what I'm saying? His blood produced a sinless, sickless, there was no sickness, his physical human brain, because there was no sin. He used it 100%. Yeah. And his body was the fruit of his blood. You see what I'm saying? So when you eat his body, you're eating the healing fruit. What the blood and the DNA produces, when you eat his body, you're eating what that blood and DNA and genetic code, what it produced was the Son, the pure unadulterated Son of the living God, right? And when you understand that, you'll understand tonight when you're eating his body that you're eating the fruit of righteousness. In other words, he didn't just talk a righteous talk on the outside. He lived it. His body did what was right. So when you eat his body, you're eating the fruit of what his blood and DNA produced. His body, his nose, his hair, his you know, every part of his body was literally produced by the word of the living God, by the seed, by the sperma of God. Yeah. And so your body is the fruit of what you live like in your blood, in your bloodline, what your bloodline is like. It may take a while to produce some of that stuff that's in there. You may fight it for a while, but just like the people I talked about earlier who, you know, don't sin for a long time and they're struggling with it, battle with it. You know, I did it when I was a heathen, but now I got saved. Now I don't really, you know, want to do it anymore. But, you know, as I got older and older and older, and if I didn't stay really strong in the Word, the temptation got pretty heavy, and it's like, oh, my gosh, what do I do now? And sometimes when people get older in their Christian life, as they get older, that battle just overtakes them, and they end up compromising. Thinking, why did I live all these years and not do that thing that I was tempted to do? A lot, and it was seemed like something inside me was wanting me to do it, but I never did it until, you know, I was 50 years old, or I've been saved for 20, 30 years, 40 years. Because it just wears your life out. That's what it does. Look at Solomon. Solomon, you know, we know that Solomon really messed up when he got older, right? But when he was younger, he didn't do those things, right? But when he got older, he compromised. Solomon is one of the best examples I can think of. And David, kind of the same way. Eventually, David succumbed to adultery, right, and murder. And you know, some pretty bad stuff. Why do you think that happened? I think that it happened not just because he wasn't out doing battle anymore and was bored, but when you're bored, the things that's crying out to you to do, oh, just look at that woman. His blood was crying. Just take a look. I ain't hurt to take a look. Just take a look. Yeah? Okay, take a look. I'm not going to look anymore because I don't want to go back. And the next day, oh, just take a look. I mean, she's out there every day. What's the big deal? Yeah, you know. And then pretty soon, his bloodline, that thing in his blood is telling him, you know, you're the king and you can have anything you want. So just go get it. So he sent one of his guys over there, brought her in. And pretty soon, he's committing adultery. He gets her pregnant. Her husband killed. I mean, he's doing some stuff that he's like going, why in the world did I do that? But all these years from my childhood up, because sometimes, friend, when the fruit and the crying out of your those things that are in you that need to be washed away from the forefathers, the sins of the fathers, so that it won't cry out to you anymore. So that it won't wear you out, and maybe you never succumbed to it for 35, 40 years, 50 years, and then, you know, one day you walk on and boom, man, the devil sets you up, you're weak, that thing's been crying out to you, you say, well, you know, whatever, I've been good all these years. But yeah. So there you go. And there's many different reasons for that, but we're kind of focusing on this right now because I want you to understand the general point of what I'm saying, that the blood cries out. And whatever your forefathers had the biggest issue with is the thing that you're going to have the biggest temptations with. And the devil knows what your forefathers did. Those devils know everything your forefathers did. Maybe before they got saved, maybe some of them never did get saved. But he knows everything. He knows what's in your blood. Believe me, the demons know what's in your bloodline because they watch it. And they get connected to your bloodline. And they just, when that person dies, they just go on to the next one. Why? Because it's in the blood. That's why demons get passed down from one generation to the next. And issues and problems. Because demons know exactly what your fathers did. They know exactly what will take you down, most likely. Now, you may get saved and feel the Holy Ghost and do good for a long time. I know a lot of people that have never yielded to things, but we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But the thing is that, you know, the design of the enemy is to take you out and to stop you from entering into your full inheritance. Your inheritance of righteousness, your inheritance of your blessing of your mantle in your life, the walking in the glory. Walking in the glory isn't talking about, I'm not talking about the presence of God. That's a whole other glory. But coming short of the glory means you always come short of your purpose. Coming short of, why was the devil able to rob me of things? Why did I come short of what I knew God was telling me to do? Do you think that your fathers didn't have the same thoughts of having businesses and making money and being blessed like you do? Do you think they didn't think that stuff? They may have never made it, never failed, never told you about it because they want to say, you know, yeah, I thought I was supposed to do this, but I didn't want to be a failure, so I never told anybody. But why do we come short of the glory, or of the glory meaning the full manifestation and the use of your brain, the full use of your body, your body being bearing fruit of your bloodline, and they end up dying of some disease and sickness and couldn't figure out where it came from? And was it the food I ate? Was it this and that? You know, and what was it? So tonight we're going to take communion. If you don't have your communion cup, if you want to grab it, we'll do that, do it together, and we're going to believe God to open up the realm of forgiveness into those things in you, through your DNA, your bloodline, that are crying out, the blood crying out to you and wearing you out with temptation and struggle and battle and keeping you from making the financial strides that God wants you to make and keeps you, you never tell anybody, but you know you're greedy, you know you're selfish, in some ways, just like I know, and I have selfish areas in my life, and it's easy to be greedy. Some people just adjust to it, and they don't call it greed anymore. They just call it, well, I'm just a good businessman. No, you're greedy. You're selfish. You know? Yeah. That's the way our flesh is. And if our bloodline is crying out to us, why are you doing that with your money? You could, you know, you could take that money and do something else with it. That sounds like Judas. Jesus, why did you, you know, we could have taken that alabaster box and sold it for, you know, a year's wages. What are you doing? We could have fed the poor with that. What was that? What was that in Judas's bloodline? Exactly that. It was in his bloodline, greed. And not that all of us yield to that stuff, but believe me, friend, I don't think all your kinfolk have been Mr. and Mrs. Generous. I don't think so. Not every one of them. Some of them did. Some of them got God, broke through, walked in the Holy Ghost. But don't come short of the glory of God, of the full manifestation of God's perfect will for your life because of some blood thing going on, keeping you bound, and you can't figure out why you can't seem to break through, because it's inside you in your Father's bloodline. And tonight we're going to begin to pray and believe specifically when we take communion. Communion is a specific way in which we deal with this very thing. Okay, you all ready? You get me a communion here. All right, I'm going to go to the scripture here, and that's why I think there's been a real big battle over, are we really eating his body and are we really drinking his blood? Because, you know, there's a real, why do you think the enemy would fight us over that? And what the real answer is, you know, we're going to talk about this some night. Right, we're going to talk about that. And so let's go here. There we go. All right. So let's go over here. And all right, let's go here. Right here, we're going to do this thing. And First Corinthians 11, we're going to go here and see what's going on with this. Okay, give me just a second here, a little issue. All right, let's go here, 1 Corinthians 11, 23. I'm going to read it. We're going to do a little bit of special praying tonight over this. Lord, we just lift up tonight your body, and we thank you that that your body tonight. Hang on a second here. Okay, here we go. Okay. All right, 1 Corinthians 11, and I'm going to go here and do this. It says, for Christian, Paul the Apostle said, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed. He took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Remember, this is the fruit of what his blood and his DNA created. We're going to eat the fruit. This is my body, the fruit of what the Word of God becoming flesh can do for you. This is my body, the fruit of what was produced by pure DNA, by pure seed, by the Father's seed being holy and pure. This is what you eat tonight. Do this in remembrance of me. Can y'all hear me okay? And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this everything I said about the body? Okay, thank you. Appreciate that, Angela. Angela Lanham is telling me that it's crushing. Yes, all right. Okay, so, all right, let's lift up the cup and say what Jesus said. Let's say it together. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink for it. Hallelujah. And Lord, as we drink that blood, the blood that we're drinking tonight is the blood that was created pure. The seed of God, the sperma, the Father's seed, literally the Heavenly Father's seed, placed into the womb of Mary, created body and blood, the fruit of the Word of God. The blood in his body had no human weakness, our human sin, our human connection to it. It was purely of the Father. And we thank you tonight that that blood doesn't just wash away some sins, but it washes away all sin, according to the Bible. The blood washes away all sins, every one of them. 1 John 1:7, but as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with one another. And the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In Hebrews 10:17, it says, then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. What we're focusing on tonight is the power of the blood and why the big battle over are we actually drinking his blood and are we actually eating his flesh, why there's been such a huge battle over that. When we bless it and when we do what Jesus said, and do what Paul told the church to do, what Jesus told him to do, and that's what we just did. Why has there been this demonic, overwhelming demonic attack against the fact that Jesus Christ said, when you do this, you're eating my body and you're drinking my blood. And he gave just like the Passover, they ate the unleavened bread and put the blood on the doorpost, you know, that was the power of that is so absolutely more than we think that it delivered them from Egypt and brought to them financial blessing. You see that? Now do you understand a little bit more of why we talk about the financial blessing in communion? Because the curses of poverty come through selfish and greediness. Many times, even if you only have a dollar, you can be selfish and greedy with a dollar, just like a millionaire can be selfish and greedy with $1 million. Greed is greed. Selfishness is selfishness. You don't have to be poor to be selfish. Most poor people are more generous than most rich people. So when you start seeing that why we celebrate the Passover and talk about what happened after the angel of death passed over them, that Moses told them, now go to your neighbors, now that you've taken communion, so to speak, or Passover, and celebrated it, and the angel of death has passed over you. Now that curse of poverty that Egypt has robbed you all these years, now that curse is broken off you, go to the neighbors and just ask for their money, and they're going to give you their money, their gold, their silver, their jewels, their clothing, their cloth. They're going to give it to you because I've set it up for you. And Passover was part of what happened. It was the fruit of taking communion is financial prosperity because the sins of the fathers are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we bring it in, he said, this is my body, which is for you, right? And this is the cup of my blood. Drink it, right? In remembrance of me. That when they celebrated Passover, which we were about to celebrate, they walked out with wealth and blessing. Now, they built a calf with it not long after that. But they still got it, right? They still got it. And God had to teach them. He had to teach them things, and they had to learn, just like the rest of us. So, friend, even the financial blessing is brought to you through celebrating the Passover, which is what communion is all about. Right? That's why when we have a studio, we do the blood of the doorpost every week because we're trying to, you know, just obey God and do what God says about things. And that has to do with not just your sins being forgiven and being healed and all that, but your financial blessings. So many of you have just, you're givers, you love God, you're not selfish, you haven't got much, and you just give the shirt off your back to help anybody. And yet, you still live in that grinding poverty because somehow it was passed down, and that has not been broken off through the blood of the Lamb, specifically in the area of poverty and lack. So tonight, Jesus, as every one of us have eaten your body and drink your blood and realizing that this is really you, it's what your Bible says, it's what the Word of God says, we are celebrating tonight the fact that every sickness and every disease that passes down from the fathers, the generations gone by, in Jesus' name, I speak to every sickness and disease, everything that says you owe me, unforgiveness always says you owe me, you know, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me, unforgiveness always says you owe me. When Jesus, that's why Jesus paid for unforgiveness on the cross, because he said, I pay for it. I pay for it. I set you free. You don't owe me anything. The judgment and wrath of God is no longer appointed to you. It's off of you. But you have to learn how to apply it and break it off in every area of your life until you get free of it. In Jesus' name, Lord, I speak to your people tonight, and I tell them, in the name of Jesus, start taking communion and apply it to the specific weaknesses that you have, the things that are crying out to you. Oh, you're never going to make any money. You're always going to be poor. You're never going to have a husband. You're never going to have a wife. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to have, you know, financial prosperity. You're never going to be blessed and have good friends. and good relationships. No, your mama and your daddy and all of them, they fought all the time. And, you know, it's just like you're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, maybe it'll be different for me. But somehow or another, it just hasn't worked out. Friend, I'm telling you, it's in the blood. And God says, the only hope that you have, Jesus said, to drink my blood and eat my flesh. John chapter 6. Drink my blood, he says. And that blew their minds. They're like, well, what? Because they didn't understand he was going to give his blood to, he wasn't just going to be a physical king. He was going to be a spiritual, he was salvation to them and was going to bring forgiveness in from all the sins of the fathers, but they were going to have to learn how to apply it. Just like our mind is being renewed, so does our blood get renewed. Right? We have to speak to that thing. In Jesus' name, so tonight I speak forgiveness over greed. I speak forgiveness over all the selfishness and all the hate, all the unforgiveness in the bloodlines, in Jesus' name, into your father's bloodline. And in Jesus' name, I speak that those bloodlines are forgiven, and I release prosperity. I command your genes, your genetic code, your DNA to cry out, be blessed. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let their blood now cry out like what Jesus' blood cried out. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I break the spirit of bitterness that is in the bloodline, and I release the love of Jesus through the blood. I speak love to your blood. I speak forgiveness into your fathers, to the sins of the fathers in your life. In the name of Jesus, all greed and lust and selfishness, in Jesus' name, is forgiven. It is for, we don't rebuke it, we forgive it. We rebuke devils, we forgive sin. And Lord, we speak forgiveness. Hallelujah. Now bless your people financially. Bless them physically. Bless them in their bodies. We ate the fruit of what the blood of the DNA of God Almighty created. And that was a healthy body of Jesus. That was a healthy brain. That was healthy blood vessels. Healthy everything in his whole body. Bring health to your people's bodies tonight in the name of Jesus. Yes, I speak forgiveness over the sins of cancer and all the things that cancer produced. In Jesus' name, I speak forgiveness over those sins. In Jesus' name, be thou forgiven. Self-hatred in the bloodline. I speak you are forgiven for the things you've done. You are forgiven in Jesus' name. I release your DNA to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Be thou made whole. May your blood cry out like Jesus' blood did. Amen. That you are blessed in going in and coming in and going out. You are blessed in the field. You're blessed everywhere in the city. Everywhere you go, you're blessed, blessed, blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know why God had the rabbis and those speak the blessing of God over them? Was because they were speaking that into their bloodline, speaking it into their DNA, speaking it into their lives, so that their bloodline would have a memory of the Word of God and start bringing the Word of God to pass. I speak by bringing blessing on them, and that's why I think for the most part many Jewish people are very blessed. Because they've had the blessing spoken over them over and over. They don't be serving Jesus, but they're blessed. Why? Listen, friend, when your DNA's blessed, you don't even have to be saved. If you got DNA passed down from one generation to the next, you can be blessed and be a nice person, be a good person, so to speak, and not be saved at all. Why? Because it's in your DNA. You've seen some people that are just the nicest people in the world, most generous people in the world, they're not even saved. Friend, it's because it's in their DNA. They don't even know they have it. They just somehow know they got the right genes. Now, friend, I'm telling you, that everybody can have that. That blessing can be on every person. And, Lord, I just pronounce it tonight in Jesus' name that you're made whole tonight by the body of Jesus, by the fruit that the DNA of God created, the body, that the DNA of God, the seed, the sperm of the Word of God created in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. All right. Okay. Well, let's get ready to pray over the financials tonight and over the offerings. Hope you've been able to hear that and understand that. We're just kind of touching. We're just touching the surface, on some of this stuff. We're just touching the surface on it, and we're going to get into it, trying to make it really simple. I'm believing God to make it really simple for us, so that we can, you know, really get it, and it not just become head knowledge, but that it become revelation for you. That I'll be looking at you and going, "Oh man, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven." Right, our Father, which is in heaven, revealed that to you. So that's where you need to get it. Is it needs to become revelation. Amen. Okay. All right. Try not to give too much at one time. That's a little bit here and there. We got so much revelation we can share, but we try to give it in little pieces, little nuggets here and there, so people can grasp it. Sometimes we share the same thing again and again in different ways, so you can connect things, possibly be able to connect them. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you for being with us tonight. We're going to pray over offerings tonight, and bless you in communion. May whatever the enemy is attached to you and been able to attack you and win, get the victory over you, that be forgiven. And see, let me tell you something, friend, why it's important to forgive those who despise you and come against you. You know what unforgiveness does? That gets in your blood, and it opens you up to the enemy attacking your bloodline. When you speak forgiveness over someone, you're speaking what the blood does. And that's forgive sins. It washes away sin. Amen. So unforgiveness causes you to sin and come short of the glory. Therefore, you can come under attack. Amen. So that's why it's really important to keep your heart in forgiveness. Not just say, "Oh, I forgave somebody really bad one time and that's it." No. Oh, believe me, he's going to hit you again. He'll hit you. He'll try to sneak it in on you. Why? Because he knows that unforgiveness. Oh boy, that's really one of the rough ones, and that all deals with the blood and pleading the blood and speaking the blood over somebody. That their sins are, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," and speaking forgiveness over them, and it disconnects you from their hate. It disconnects you from their mess. It disconnects you from it. Amen. Forgiveness disconnects you from that evil person that's doing that evil stuff. Amen? Because once you don't forgive them, then you get connected to them. That's why the enemy's strategy is to get you into forgiveness, because unforgiveness is a string that attaches you to them. But when you forgive them, you cut the string, therefore they can't mess with you. They can try. They'll keep doing things over and over and over again. That's why, you know, the only time the disciples ever asked for more faith, you know when the disciples asked for more faith? The only scripture I know when they asked for more faith, you know when that was? Look it up. Google it. It's amazing. It's when Jesus told them, "Peter, you forgive seven times. Well, forgive it seven times more?" And he said, "Seven times 70. You know, he said, "Oh, Lord, give us more faith." That's the only time I remember they ever asked for more faith. Because that's something they deal with every day. Every day unforgiveness or every day forgiveness is so vital. Because the enemy will hit you every day with things. Why? Why with unforgiveness? Because unforgiveness attaches you to the evil person or to that ungodly person or to that unrighteous deed. It connects you to them. It's like a soul tie. Because your soul is really upset, right? Mine does. I've talked about it many times. Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Give me just a second here. Okay. Trying to make sure I record everything. Okay. Give me a minute here. All right, if you want to give tonight, you're welcome to. Go to randychandler.com on your phone or your computer. And, you know, you can give right there. So you can do that. All right. And hallelujah, when you give, just give because you want to give. Give because God is blessing you and you want to give and be a blessing. Amen. Don't ever give because you don't want to. Yeah, giving out of obedience is important. Hallelujah. All right. Give out of, because you want to. Ask God to help you want to give. That changes everything. Give with a different attitude. It's really big. Okay. All right. So let's go here tonight. Let me see here. I think I might be missing on a second. Let me check one more thing here real quick. Okay, here we go. All right, let's go here and let's get into prayer of our offerings. Thank you for being with us tonight. God bless you. All right, Sally from London, UK, London. Sally, God bless you. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness and your graciousness. That's in Sally, God. All the gracious things you do for her, God. I thank you, Lord, for giving her, I just sense, a refreshing presence or understanding of God's graciousness and kindness to you, Sally. All the different ways that he's shown it to you in different ways, because sometimes, you know, God has to remind us of the things, especially when we go through a battle, and we need to be reminded. That's when we take communion. We do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said, because remember, you know, not only what he paid for, but what he's done for us. And to remember those things isn't just like some, you know, thing to do because we need to be thankful. It is a thing of remembrance. You know, it's like we eat it. It's like food to us. And God's showing you how to eat the food of God's blessing, of his goodness, of his grace. And, you know, and just, of course, we spit out the bitterness of life. We spit it out. We don't even eat that. Unless it's a special time where God, you know, is bringing us through a hard time and we're, you know, going through times, then we learn how to make it sweet, right, by worshiping and giving thanks. And I see God really multiplying that in you and showing you, you know, reminding you of the good things that he's done, reminding you of things he's spoken to you, just reminding you. It's about the memory for some reason. It's about him doing something in your memory and bringing things to recall, like, okay, recall. So that's the thing right there. Something's going on in your brain of God that is beautiful, that he's going to bring memory recall and recall on things. Like there's a, like some people have, what do you call that, photographic memory recall. So there's something like that in you that God's, I don't know if it's actually called that or not, but there's some kind of memory recall where God's going to open you up, your brain, maybe because you're taking communion with us, maybe part of it, I'm not sure exactly how this is happening, but recall, the ability to recall things that you need to, you know, like things that you saw with a blink of an eye and be able to remember it in detail. Hallelujah. Open that up for my sister, God, in the name of Jesus. I loosen your brain to function in that realm in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Memory recall with precision and detail. Just even seeing something with a blink of an eye, being able to look at it in detail and have recall. Wow, girl, that's pretty cool. I've never said that of you before, I know. Amen. That's pretty cool. All right, man, Judah from Australia, $7. Thank you, man, Judah. And thank you, Lord, that God is linking you up to, he's starting to link you to supernatural thought processes, and bringing to you, you know, supernatural thought processes. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ, man, Judah, as you know. And I think God's going to show you that the mind of Christ isn't just, you know, thinking like Jesus thinks. It's having the gifts that he had. It's having the mind that he had, the ability to think like he did, to think clear, to think straight, and the ability to think clearly. Sometimes a clear mind isn't just something that we have because we're having a good day. It's a blessing of Christ. And I see the Lord really just opening you up to that and giving you thoughts and intelligence that you're going to know. I mean, you're going to go, man, that's not me. That is not me. That is something supernatural. That is something, because somehow God is linking you up to it, linking you up. He's giving you links. Links many times are keys of understanding. Links many times are specific things that he's teaching you, or because teaching and learning from God and then doing what God says is what links you to that blessing. But faith without obedience, without works, is dead. Why? Because there's no link. The link is dead. But faith with works, there's a link, faith and work. So God links, there's a link that's connected to the things of God that links you up. It's a link to it. Supernatural information, supernatural ability to think clear, to think. Thinking clear is a little bit about what we talked about tonight, about the brain being working 100%. Because the problem is it's cloudy and foggy. We see through a glass darkly, right? So when we start seeing through a glass clearer, then we don't see through a glass darkly. We see clearly. We can describe things, you know, that God is doing, you know, that he's saying in details. You know, it's very specific information. Wow, awesome. Thank you, Jesus. There's something going on with the brain and the spirit. And y'all hearing this tonight? I mean, this is just because I teach this, I'm not prophesying out of that. That's just coming out of me. This is what God is, this is the move of God right now in many different forms of watching the mind of Christ and our bodies not coming, our whole spirit, soul, and body not coming short of the glory, but tapping into the glory. In other words, not the presence of God. I'm talking about the presence of God. That's a different kind of glory. I'm talking about the glory of man. When God made Adam and Eve, they walked in glory. Not meaning they walked in the presence of God, though they did that, but they walked in the fullness of using everything in their being was 100% functioning. Yeah, that's why they didn't sweat when they worked, because they could get something done in 5 minutes and it would take us 5 days. Yeah. Are y'all getting that? I'm getting it because I'm hearing it too. Amazing. All right, Anya, $7. God bless you, Anya. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for Anya too. I thank you, Lord, for I see you like on the wings. You're not on the wings of an eagle. You're like on the back of an eagle, and the wings are like right there, you know, right there, but you're on the back of the eagle, and God is just lifting you up. In other words, he's lifting you higher. There's something going on with you where God is bringing you up higher in your intellect. Yeah, there you go. Higher in your understanding, because when we walk in the intellect of God, we have understanding of things. Like like if I have a dream or a vision, I've had dreams and visions. Some of the dreams and visions I've had were directly from God and absolutely powerful. And I understood some of it. I thought I understood all of it. And then one day I'm thinking about it, a dream I had, you know, 8 years ago. And all of a sudden, boom, I can see clearly now things I never saw. Right? All of a sudden I see something. I'm going, oh, my God, I've never seen that before. I realized then I was skimming across the surface of that dream from God. I was skimming the surface. And little did I realize that I was just skimming the surface. The Lord says you're going to see deeper. You're going to see at a higher level. In other words, your understanding is going to understand things in that I just thought, man, why didn't I see that before? You know, just like when they were eating bread with Jesus, and all of a sudden their eyes were open, and there he was. They said, that was Jesus we were talking to, and all of a sudden he's gone on the road to Emmaus. He was there the whole time. There's things, there's answers on you that God has right in front of you, just like he said right in front of me, that I couldn't see them. And all of a sudden my understanding got clear. And all of a sudden I go, oh, my gosh, I never saw that before. Like one of the things is the sword of the Spirit that I had, a dream of the sword of the Spirit. And, I never took that personal, like it was my sword. Like it was I just thought, hey, it's a sword of the Lord, you know. And one day it just hit me. The Lord said, that's your sword. I'm going, what do you mean that's my sword? He said, you know, that's your sword. I go, yeah, I know I was using it, but no. He said, no, that's your sword. You see what I'm saying? I never thought that sword, because it was huge, it was big. A human being couldn't really wield that sword because it was so big. And yet I was in that dream, I was like it was like nothing. And then all of a sudden, you know, this is years later, I woke up and I realized, oh, my God, that's my sword. you heard me talk about it here on the show, right? That was after years. Why? Because my understanding became clearer. It becomes more personal. I identify with it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It changed my life. I mean, literally changed my life. Just that one little bitty thing. Not that's counting all the other things. Yeah, just that one little thing. I'm going, dude, that is amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right, there you go. You're understanding. All right. Sarah, $10. Good to see Sarah. Our friend Sarah. And I called in, I think, last night or not before that. I think, yeah, last night. Good to hear from you, Sarah. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for Sarah tonight. I thank you for timing. You're going to find yourself being on time, in time. And the reason I think Donald called in one night. He said, yeah, I get more about being in sync with the Lord and being in time and that kind of thing. He said, yeah, I was just feeling like I was out of sync with the Lord, you know, to a certain degree. I went, yeah. And so I started thinking about that. And the word I'm giving you tonight about being in sync with the Lord and being on time and being in the timing, being at the right place at the right time, is mainly this, that you know, just like we're talking about tonight, every time we grow to another level of glory to glory, you know, we go from an old thing, which we thought was just pretty cool, you know, and the longer we stayed in it, the less cool it was, but we were thankful we were there, you know, bless God, it's better than where I was, you know, 3 years ago, or five, or whatever it was, you know. So all of a sudden, I'm really getting tired of this thing, and all of a sudden, boom, you start feeling sluggish, you start feeling like I'm out of time, I'm not in the time of the Lord, I feel like I'm out of sync with the Lord, what's going on, mind the flesh. No, not necessarily. You're just becoming aware of, you know, your need to come to the next step. So when you become aware of the need of the next step and you get bored with it and you get like, okay, God, you know, like, okay, thank you, Jesus, you know, give me a fresh something. So what that is, it causes you to cry out for more from your soul, from your heart, from the depth of your being. And what happens? All of a sudden God moves you up to another level of glory. And that's what I see happening with you. God moving you to another place of glory. Another place of the Lord where you are aware of things that before would pass you by, and you just be in the wrong, seem like you're at the wrong time, the wrong place at the wrong time, that kind of thing. But now it's like you don't miss things. You're not going to miss things.
That's what happens when we go from glory to glory. We don't miss things as much as we did on the step below the glory. We're up a step higher. We're more sensitive. We're more aware. And therefore, we don't miss things. Missing, coming short, right? Coming short of the glory. What does that mean? That means that you don't miss things when God says them. You hear them. Why? Because you're more sensitive. You're more clear-headed. You're like going, oh, God, yeah. Oh, thank you. Wow. I'm hearing from God a lot right now. Yeah. You know why? It's not because you all of a sudden became super-duper spiritual. No, it's because you stepped into another realm of glory from where you were before. And, you know, wow, look. You know, I'm more sensitive. I'm more aware. Right. That's because you took another step. Because your soul is crying out, God, I need more. I'm bored with this. I need more. And what did he do? He answered your prayer. Amen. And that's what's happening. Take another step. Yeah. In Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name. And that way when blessings come your way, you don't pass them up. You're like, ah, no. Our son needs to start saying yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Amen. You don't miss nothing. All right, Gary and Mary, $18, building fund. I don't know if I said building fund or anybody else. I don't think anybody else said building fund. All right, building fund, $18. Thank you, Gary and Mary. All right, we've got scripture. Okay. All right, let's go here. Hallelujah. Okay, what is this? No, okay, got it. Okay, right here. I found it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, building fund, $18. Thank you, Gary. That will be now doubled. All right. Blessings, Randy and Julie, John 3:3-7, and John 3:13, and Proverbs 30, verse 4, and John 3:14-17. yeah. All right. Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. John 3:13-13. Jesus speaking says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Proverbs 3 verse 4, Bible prophecy, Jesus Christ as repeated in John 3:13. Now Jesus himself fulfilling the prophecy stated in Proverbs 30 before, who has gone up to heaven and come down? Whose hand has gathered up the wind? Who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is the name of his son? Surely you know. John 3:14. And Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man lifted up, shall be lifted up. That's on the cross. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. Gary and Mary, amen. All right, awesome. Really cool. Yeah, he must be born again. And that's what connects us to, of course, his DNA and the glory of God in that. So thank you, Jesus. For Gary and Mary, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this a move of salvation. Like I think Terrence said a few days ago about he felt like there's a God's doing a thing of souls, and Lord, I thank you, Father, for that whole thing about being born again. That the hope that people have is just getting connected to the blood of Jesus
into the Spirit of God and being reborn, rebirth. And Lord, I thank you that for Gary and Mary, for Gary to be a vital part of that, Jesus, where we see people get saved, see people get right with God, see people get born again, and watch them begin to move right into this new revelation that God has given us of the DNA and the bloodlines being cleansed and washed. We're going to see a generation here. I think you're going to see a generation here of men and women and families do not deal with the things that we had to deal with because of the knowledge God's given you to impart to them so that they don't have to suffer the things that we've suffered, that we can bring them the knowledge of what the blood does and what Jesus did instead of just preach and get saved and then leave them out there, to make it on their own. And to teach them and raise up a generation that understands what the blood of Christ really is and what his body really has done and what communion and what Passover is really about and how it affects every part of life. So they don't struggle with things all their life when all we do is speak the word of God and speak forgiveness into the sins of the fathers. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And watch the new generation just go to the next level of glory. Amen. And the children of God are going to truly be the children of our Heavenly Father. Amen. A whole generation are going to identify with God in a more natural way than ever before. They're going to go like, well, how come it's so easy for you to have that beautiful relationship with the Father? Like, you just act like, you're a child. I go, yeah, because I am, I grew up in a different generation, and we are going to be part of that generation, Gary. You are part of that generation to teach and make sure we teach our children, spiritual children, the things God has given us. We don't give them religion. We give them the living word of God, and that's your God, the living word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. The living word. So thank you, Lord, for Mary, God. I thank you for Mary, God. I thank you for the turn and burn anointing, God, that people find themselves being able to turn from their unrighteous deeds to keep from burning, not just burning eternally in hell, but burning their life away, wasting their life away, doing things that just, there's a fire, burns everything up they do. They can't get anything done. And God using you to administer the love of God and the servanthood of God where they produce a lot of fruit instead of everything they do, it lasts for a little while and then it falls apart because they're gonna build according to kingdom principles. And when you build according to the word of God, then it's protected, it's kept, and it doesn't stay blessed for 10 years and then fall apart. Amen. So it's the preserving of the generations, the preserving of the people of God, to preserve them in righteousness, to preserve them with the word of the living God. Hallelujah. Yeah, look at how those both words, the words were about the future generation. That's really cool. I don't know if I said that clearly as I saw it, but I just saw, here's what I saw, Carrie Mary. I try to explain this. But, when Gabriel showed up and told Mary she would conceive the Son of God, it opened up the door for the Father to plant his sperma, the seed, the Word of God became sperma into her womb. And so that's what I saw God doing with you guys. It's like placing the pure, unadulterated, holy Word of God into the womb of a generation. Amen. And bringing forth Christ in them, the hope of glory. Isn't that awesome? I saw that in the Spirit. Really, really cool. All right. Okay, looks like our next, let's go here. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you too, you guys. Thank you so much. All right, Janice, $25 building fund, $25, Janice. Thank you, Janice, in Jesus' name. I see the Spirit of God, breaking breaking down walls. Things that you try to, you banged your head against the wall many times trying to break the walls down, and I see you just standing there, and you just look first at that at the ground, and then your hands kind of start going up toward the Lord, being lifted up, and then your face just looks up and goes, glory to God in the highest. And those walls, Janice, I saw them fall down, kind of like in Jericho. And I think God's going to teach you something, Janice, about Jericho. It was a very unique strategy God gave them, and it was so powerful because those walls were totally impenetrable. They were not you couldn't penetrate them, in other words. And so they were impenetrable. And so God gave them a strategy of to walk around them, and then they shouted, you know, and played the instruments. And that was a strategy. And so God's really going to show you that. And you have this powerful thing of praise and worshiping God and giving God thanks, and then just watch the balls fall down. When we sit there and beat our head against the wall and do everything, you know, dynamite, we try everything, it just doesn't work, right? And all of a sudden, you know, I saw you doing that. You had your head down after you were discouraged, and you all of a sudden you lift, your hands went up, God started being lifted up high, and then your face looked up to the Lord, and you began to say, thank you, God, and began to give him praise. And when you did that, those walls that surrounded you just fell down, just like the walls of Jericho. I saw that in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Noel, $25. Thank you, Noel. Noel is the one that got this thing going on with the building fund. Thank you, Noel, for that. And God's going to bless you for that very much so, I believe. And every person that gives with building fund on it, they might as well be saying, building fund, Noel. Right? Because when God uses us to do things, we get connected to those blessings when they continue. So I don't know if you knew you were doing that or not, but it's really amazing. So, and that's what I see God really doing you is giving you strategies and things to, you know, to impart to people. And, you know, I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect. Not every strategy, take it, but as you give them, as you share and open up ideas, and it mainly an anointing to open up the eyes of people and get them into a spirit of generosity and understanding why being generous is so important, because when you're generous, And you give generously, and not begrudgingly, but give generously, that the spirit of it makes it easier for God to speak to people, and instead of it being hard for them to go, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go bless them, you know. And it takes them, you know, 3 weeks to get over there and get it to you. When you give in generosity with you know, not begrudging, but just because you want to, then people that are supposed to bring blessing to you, whether it's your boss giving you a raise or somebody sending you money or somebody doing a business deal for you, they're going to do it happily and they're going to do it as quick as they can. Why? Because the way you give, the way you do things, it brings back that same result. Amen. Where people don't give to you begrudgingly or, you know, help you begrudgingly, but they do it willingly and they want it. So I thank you, Jesus, for the spirit of generosity, God, in Jesus' name, and how powerful that is. And the spirit of generosity, when that gets on somebody, then God can guide them and lead them, and they become prosperous because they're being led and guided by a generous God and a loving Father who gives. More blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen. Because giving is what activates receiving. That's why it's more powerful. Giving activates the receiving of something. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. 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 An anointing, a new financial anointing, another level of financial anointing in your life. Hallelujah. All right, Deborah and John, $26, and they also put building fund on theirs. Thank you for that. Also, I didn't tell everybody, but we've had, I think, over $4,000 extra since we started that with Noel a couple of weeks ago. I think we've had about $4,000 raised, and going up. I think maybe a little more than that tonight, but about $4,000. Yeah. And so that's exciting. I mean, that's extra. For the most part, that's extra. And so really, really, really cool. Really, really awesome. And amen. All right. So Deborah and John, $26. They put building fund on there, so that'll make that that will be matched with another $26. So what you're getting, you're entering into an anointing for doubling. Not just doubling that particular offering, but for you to enter into the spirit of double. the double. And John, Deborah, that's what I see with you guys. It's like, you know, the thing I just shared about the double, just by putting diligence on it, it's not that just God's just going to double your $25. It's the fact that you enter to an anointing for double blessings. That's what happened with Job. Job went through a big trial, and God blessed him with double property, double children, you know, all that. Not you guys and any more kids from your own bodies, but maybe, yeah, I don't know. It's just a double blessing, the double blessing. And that's what I see happening with you guys. And I see you joining hands together and coming into unity and agreement like never before. And God, and because of that, the union God brings with you, you know, union doesn't mean we agree on everything about everything. You know, Julie and I don't agree on everything, not at all. You know, but we do have that one thing we agree on, and so God bless us, and so we thank you, Lord, for those, you know, for those things that we come into agreement on that bring that double blessing. And I speak that double blessing over John, over Deborah right now, over their lives, over their callings, over their money realm, over their business realm, over their ministry realm. In the name of Jesus, I declare and I decree double. Hallelujah. Double. Amen. Not just double $26. Double everything in your life. An increase of double in your life. Hallelujah. I see Deborah getting pregnant more times with spiritual revelation from heaven. Amen. And I see John being the person who puts things into action. You know, faith that works, the word put into action. And you know, when a husband and wife flow together at different times in different ways, one of them can get revelation of something and the other one puts it into action, you know, in different ways. And that's what makes it work. So we thank you, Jesus, for that word of revelation. And then as John begins to work it and put things into action, in that particular way, they're going to see, you know, faith with works, faith into action, word of God, revelation into action, put it into place, things that God speaks to do, that they walk in the power of God of double blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. And I see you helping suffering people who have suffered from unjust, from people who have been crooked and evil and unjust. I see God using you guys to help people who have been had great injustice done to them. Wow, that's really cool. Great injustice done to them. Amen. Because God's calling you to bring justice. That's really cool. All right, Mahogany, $30 building fund, she says. Please pray for my husband, Dominique. Too. Yes, Lord, we pray for Dominique tonight. God, we thank you for Mahogany. We thank you, Lord, that we break those. I speak into Dominique's blood, into Mahogany's blood, and I speak blessing in their bloodline over their marriage, over their DNA, that their DNA is going to be blessed together. That Dominique's DNA is, I speak forgiveness into the bloodline. I speak forgiveness into the sins of the fathers in Dominique's life, in Jesus' name, just like I do any Christians that got a lot of things going on. You know, we only got a lot going on. We could have everything going on. We can have everything going on when God begins to bless us with exceeding abundantly above. And so thank you, Lord, for that anointing in Jesus' name on them, in Jesus' name, Lord. And I thank you for Dominique, God, that the sins of the Father, the things that, you know, it may not have anything to do with him, I don't know, the things that affect him, the things that hold him back from being really blessed by God, the things that cause him troubles internally, temptations and struggles and battles and things that just he can't seem to shake for whatever reason. In Jesus' name, I speak forgiveness over that. That is washed and forgiven in the name of Jesus. Sins of the fathers, all the oppression of those things. In Jesus' name, I release you from those right now, Dominique. In the name of Jesus, and I speak, you're going to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. In the name of Jesus, Dominique, I declare that over you, decree that over you right now, in Jesus' name. In Mahogany, Lord, I thank you for Mahogany. I thank you, Lord, for the maturity level. I see you maturing really quick. You know, I mean, you've always, you know, matured in your life as the Lord has done, but I see you having a growth a growth process that's going to be like increased. Like your growing spurts are going to be huge. And it's going to be because the Word of God's going to come alive to you. You're getting a whole new view on the Word of God, Mahogany. And it's because you're called to the new wine, the new wineskin. And God's going to start speaking to you. You're going to find traditions and things that you thought were just like part of, you know, what I believe in as traditions. And you're going to go, wow, I never saw that as a tradition before of the Father. But, you know, God's telling me to change it. And I see God changing the way you think, the way you believe, you know, and you find yourself more in the Word of God going, man, I never saw that before. I tell you, girl, when you walk in that, that's amazing, because that's what truly changes you, is when you see the Word of God come alive for you. And Lord, I thank you for that spirit of revelation in Jesus' name, in Mahogany, right now by the power of God, and in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Where she can declare and decree words of God from things that are alive to her, not just scripture, but alive things, things, the Word of God that is alive in her. Amen. Yeah. And God has given you some kind of authority over the things of the earth, like, you know, like Jesus can walk on the water, like clouds and storms and that kind of thing. God's given you an authority over that. So if you haven't worked that before, you might start asking God to help you work that, learn how to flow on that. Maybe you've already been doing that, but over the natural elements of the earth. Once the Word of God created all of them, when the Word of God comes alive in you, that living Word has living authority over the things of the earth, because the Word created all of it, right? The Word created the trees, created the clouds. That's why Jesus had a power over the, you know, everything. He cursed the fig tree and it dried up. He could, you know, you could speak to the clouds and it rained like Elijah did. Why? Because the Word of God created all of it. When it comes alive to you, then that's what releases the authority and power to do that. Amen? All right, cool. Sharonda, $30. Thank you, Sharonda. I don't know if that was building fund or not. Let me go back here and look. I don't think it was. No, that wasn't building fund. Okay, that's okay. Jesus. Okay. Andrew just added $5 to the building fund. Thank you so much. Amen. Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go here. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Sharonda, $30. Thank you, Sharonda. And it just bless you, Sharonda, in Jesus' name. You know, I see activity around you. I see some activity in your belly area, even in your womb. I don't know if God's stirring up your womb, your belly area, in that whole area right in there to I think there's some grieving that you've gone through in there, that I don't know if God's not been able to fill that up with joy. And I see joy being placed into your womb, into your belly area, like the whole area, that womb, your womb and your belly. I don't know, for some reason, joy, like you're going to produce fruit, you're going to produce healthy fruit, you're going to produce good fruit, you're going to have, you know, and out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. I see you rejoicing over, the whole thing of being a mother, being a wife, and Jesus' name. And I see you having just real joy over, some things that, because God is replacing grief and sorrow that you've been over through past relationship thing. He's filling that now with the joy and expectation of new, and releasing fear. And, you know, sometimes fear can be good if it's like, be careful fear, you know. But I see that being dissipated and God releasing you into a place of your faith being activated and getting really excited. Yeah, so I see the excitement from your belly. When I say excitement from the belly area, that usually means that it's out of the belly flows rivers. That's where your spirit man is, where the Holy Spirit is. So it's the joy of the Lord. Really, really cool, joy of the Lord. All right. Sandra, $35 building fund, and her $250 she gave last week is building fund, and the $35 today, and I think something else. I just barely saw that email when it came in. Thank you for that text when it came in. Thank you, Sandra, for that $35. building fund, and 250 last week. We'll put that on building fund also. And thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for Sandra tonight, God. I thank you for that very thing, just how easy that was because of what is going on here at PGN with the match thing going on. That all of a sudden you took $250 and made it into $500, basically, and your $35 into, you know, $70. I mean, just like that. And see, here's the thing God showed me about this. As we enter into that and just simply put building fund on there, like putting building fund on there by faith, is like you activating your faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith with works is powerful. Faith with works connects you to the blessing, right? Faith with works. So putting just a simple thing is putting building fund on your notes or sending me a text or an email saying, put building fund on that. That right there is connecting you to increase in multiplication. In other words, you know, that quick, boom, $250 turned into $500. I mean, where have we ever seen that before? Amazing. 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 So just like that. I mean, it's just like you just gave $570 or more than that, really. That's what I see happening. I see the spirit of increase just through your simple faith and hearing the word of the Lord and saying, okay, I'm going to do that. And just the simple thing of putting BF on a building fund, all right, let that be that. Just saying that and decreeing that and declaring that, God, I speak an increase in multiplication in Sandra's life, God, a blessing of multiplying her seed in Jesus' name. And I just come in agreement. It's your faith that's doing it. I'm just coming in agreement with your faith that it is done. Because wherever two or more agree is touching a thing in Jesus' name. And I see you touching more things. I see you being able to touch things. And sometimes it's like we can almost touch it, but we can't quite touch it to grasp it, to get it, to grasp the understanding, to grasp, to get a hold of that thing we're feeling, you know, that raise we need, that thing we need, that breakthrough we need with that person. We just can't quite touch it. We're reaching out, but it's like my hand is withered, or my arm is withered. And all of a sudden, your arm is not withered anymore. It reaches out and touches those things, touches in prayer, touches in relationship, being able to forgive, being able to bless, because that way you bless with your hands. Right? When you reach out and you bless, oh, honey, I love you, and you touch them on the shoulder, or on the face, on the cheek, and maybe give them a little kiss or something and bless them, just, you know, bless your children, bless people, whatever. Just that blessing thing. And not only the ability to be blessed, but the ability to bless. I mean, the Bible says, bless those who curse you. Yourself. Man, we all want to do that. But, you know, it's sometimes just when it's in reality, it's difficult to do. It's easy to say it. It's a whole other thing to actually walk in it in the fullness, where you actually are blessing those who despitefully use you and say, oh, man, I just went through a circumstance like this recently. I've been talking about myself, where it snuck up on me. I found myself getting unforgiveness toward this person. I go, my gosh, it snuck up on me, man. Wow, man. And the way it hit me was just so sly. So, you know, I didn't even realize it, you know. And then I looked and I realized, that looks really familiar. That sounds really familiar. Oh, yeah, that's unforgiveness. Sorry. Yeah. And I caught myself. Thank God I caught myself. And, you know, and it's a battle. So it takes to reach out and touch something, it takes the grace of God to do it, and God's gracing you to do that. Because that's where your blessings come from, is in blessing, giving the blessing so you can receive the blessing. Hallelujah. I see an increase in that. All right, Nikki and Charles, $65, and building fund also. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, I thank you, Father, for that blessing. Get it here. They wanted me to pray over something, I think. Yes, building fund. Thanks for praying, sharing yourselves for 4 nights a week. Thank you. Oh, we love you. Oh, she didn't ask for anything. Oh, she does that sometimes. She'll surprise me. Just her, Charles, and send their love. Thank you. And I think sometimes, you know, that's when people do that, as God promotes them to do it, that brings a special blessing on you. You know, I love to pray for people. You know, that's one of my favorite things to do. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I really appreciate you valuing that. Amen. And but we love you, Prophet Randy, in big letters. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. I just speak your blessing on them, God. King Charles, I bless them with unity. I bless them with the Psalms 133 blessing. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the special oil that poured down the head on the beard. And Lord, I just speak that soothing clothing covering of your oil, of your presence, of your glory, God, bring to that. Let the oil touch every part of their life, physical, emotional, mental, financial, social, and every area, their mantles, their ministries, in the name of Jesus. Bless them with that land, God. It's a time to take the land. We're seeing a lot of people take the land. Tanisha shared a powerful testimony of some things that were just so amazing to me. What night that was. I think that was Tuesday night. Go back and listen to that. It'll bless you. And God's bringing us into a place of land and houses and homes. Get ready, because he's going to do it in Jesus' name. Sometimes you have to step out. Sometimes you have to look for it. Amen. So I wanted to say this to some of you tonight. When there had not been any rain for 3.5 years, and Elijah, you know, had spoke that there would be no rain for 3.5 years, there was drought. When the rain finally was getting ready to come, he told his servant, he was up there praying, in spirit of intercession, a special kind of prayer, had his face between his knees, praying in intercessory, birthing prayer, and he kept telling his servant, go look. And his servant went and looked. What do you see? Nothing. Go again. What do you see? Nothing. What do you see? Nothing. Sometimes, just like Moses had to keep going to Pharaoh, Elijah's servant had to keep going and looking out to the sea to see what he could see. He said nothing. And then all of a sudden, about the seventh time or so, with Moses it was 10 times. With Elijah's servant it was, I think, 7 times. Finally, the seventh time, he goes, oh, Master, there is a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, that's it. That's it. It was created by Elijah and God coming together in prayer. And sometimes, but here's the thing, sometimes you have to just keep looking. Go keep looking. Don't sit there and wait. When the season hits, go keep looking. Moses kept going to Pharaoh. Elijah's servant kept going to look, and there's other circumstances too in the Bible that talk about that. Just keep going and looking. There's something about going and looking. Going and looking. Going and looking. Looking for something new. Look and wait and see. Look for something that God's doing. Look for something. Just look, but just start looking. Amen. That's the word tonight. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. And the blessing on you, God. Amen. Jeannie, $100 building fund, and then Hollis for $40. Pray for Hollis for an offering for Hollis, $40 in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for that. So that Jeannie's $100, she's turned into $200. She's by saying building fund. Just that easy. She just increased and multiplied her money and gets credit for that from God because she just, you know, did it. She didn't have to do it. She did it. There it is. Building fund. Boom. Double. Hallelujah. I love it, man. And like I said, the money that's come in the last few weeks from since we've been doing this has been over $4,000 extra. And that's just getting started. We're just getting warmed up. And I don't know how we may not do this every week, and I haven't even talked about it this week. People are doing it because they're getting a hold of it. They're listening to the teachings. They're listening to the words. They're going, man, I'm going to put building fund on there. Because when you put building fund on there, it just automatically doubles it. Yeah, really awesome. All right, so, I feel like we snuck a blessing in on that because it's not about, you know, even people giving extra money, because that's the purpose of giving, you know, doing that match thing is to get people to give extra. But it's not even really about that. We kind of snuck a big one on because it's now it's just about, at this season, it's just about putting building fund on there, even if it's just the regular $5 you give every month, or the $10 or the $50. You know, that's unusual. And that's the way that God wants to do it right now. So as God gives it to you, take advantage of it. For yourself, this is not just for PGN. No, you get credit for that extra $100. If you give $100, it gives you credit for an extra $100 to your account. Maybe not tax-wise, but in God. Lord, we thank you tonight for Hollis. We pray, dear Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for Hollis. God, we thank you. We speak into Hollis's bloodline tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. And everything in him that just cries out to him to live a regular life, don't live for God, don't live supernatural realm, don't live in that place. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. I declare and decree over Hollis that he, that the sins of the fathers, things that he doesn't even know that messes with him, that speak to him, that cry out to him in his blood, that cries out in Jesus' name. I speak release. I speak forgiveness. I declare over Hollis that, God gave him a heartbeat for God, a rhythm and a flow. And I thank you, Jesus, for reconnecting him to that heartbeat. Let the heartbeat. I see Hollis getting like you go in and your heart is defibrillating or whatever you call that, infibulation or something, you know, and they have to give it a shot to kind of get it going. I see the Lord like giving him shock treatments, you know, to his heart, like when they shoot, do that thing to his heart, like they put those things on there and shoot the electricity through it to get his heart to get the rhythm set back to normal. In Jesus' name, I declare and decree that in Jesus' name, and I speak over his bloodline, Lord, that he is bloodline. The sins of the fathers, the things that cry out to him, to just lay back, no, do nothing. In Jesus' name, I speak forgiveness, release. Let him be on fire for you, Jesus. Let him be hungry for your word, hungry for you, Jesus, in ways he's never been in his life. Amen. I speak his bloodline, his blood. Cry out and say, Father, bless me. Bless me, God, so I can be a blessing. Amen, in Jesus' name. Let my heart be one with your heart, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. And with Jeannie, thank you, Lord, Jeannie, for that $100. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you, Lord, for a building, for favor. The word, you know, I text you today. All that stuff I text you today was so cool and so amazing. I'm just asking God to breathe on that information that I sent you today. By text that God showed me when I went to the mailbox to get the mail. And the only thing that was in that mail was something about jewels and diamonds, you know, like some kind of show they're having somewhere. You know, I didn't even read the whole thing. I just saw the jewels and diamonds. I'm like, you know, and I'd have been praying for Jeannie and praying for her situation earlier, and all of a sudden I realized who that was for. And I took a picture of it, sent it to her. I said, you know, I just got this, and it went along with a lot of other information. I said, girl, there's something happening, man. There's something happening. Keep going to Pharaoh, even though he hardened his heart. Keep going. Moses kept going until he broke through. He never stopped going. He never let the hardness of Pharaoh's heart stop him from going again and again and again in different ways. So, God, I ask you to empower, strengthen her, give her a special anointing to be able to persist like the woman who went to the judge over and over again. He finally said, okay, you got it. Just leave me alone. In the name of, give her that persistence. Mm-hmm. Energy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give her that new persistence. Give her that new pain in the neck, anointing. Like you do when you go to the judge, like that woman, they went to the judge. I mean, that woman just became a pain in the neck. To that judge, but that judge finally says, girl, you're wearing me out. Amen. And he wore her, yeah. So wear him out, girl. That's what I'm telling you. God's giving you a wear it out anointing. Wear him out. The unjust judge. And that literally fits in probably in some of your stuff, right? The unjust judge. Amen. The injustice. The injustice of the whole situation. Amen. That fits. I mean, I was kind of playing with that, but I think it may be more true than I'm saying. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is in the house. That's what I want to say to you right now, Jeannie. Jesus is in the house. That's what I want to say. Jesus is in the house right now. Right now, right now. Jesus is in the house right now. Hallelujah. to him. Talk to him. I know you talk to him all the time, but talk to him in a special way. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. Angela Lanham, $100 building fund. That just turned into $200, just like that. Boom, $200. To your account before God. Hallelujah. Enjoy. That's what I want to say to you. You know, Angela, I see you getting such joy. And this is going to sound funny. But I see the Lord suing Satan. Yeah. I see the Lord going to court over some things against the devil in your behalf. And of course, we know he's going to win that case. He's already actually won the case. And I don't know what that means. That doesn't make any sense to me. But I see that God, that Christ is going like before the courts of heaven and applying a lawsuit to some specific things and to your money realm and to things where Satan has robbed you and taken from you and things took blessings that belong to you and you know didn't give them to you and take them from you. I see the courts of heaven before the courts of heaven that the Lord Jesus is going before the courts of heaven and suing the enemy. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me spiritually, but that's just what I saw. And I saw the Lord, of course, we know the Lord's already won that battle. That's already won. But he's applying it to you, doing it for you in Jesus' name. And so that God is about to increase you in that level because your case is before the Father about things that the enemy has robbed you and stolen from you and taken things that belong to you. I see God literally, like somehow or another, taking that to court and on your behalf and just doing the devil, you know. I got a feeling all he's going to have to do is say, remember the cross. I think he's going to probably take communion. Jesus will probably take communion before the Father and say, remember what I did, Father, on the cross, or something like that. I don't know how he's going to win the case exactly, but I saw him winning the case. And what's been stolen and robbed from you, God's going to give it back. God's giving it back. Girl, do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I saw that in the spirit realm. I've never seen that. I have a hard time saying that because that doesn't make scriptural sense. Right? But it's something like he wants to imprint in your mind. And Jesus does not lose, girl. You know our Jesus does not lose. Wow, my Lord and my God. Taking your case before the courts of heaven. Oh, my God. Wow, I don't know. I don't understand. I've never seen that before. I have never seen that before. Never. I wouldn't even say that that's not even biblically correct, but it is. But it's somehow in the future or something in the past, in the future. I don't understand that. But, absolutely mind-boggling. Hallelujah. All right. Give me a second here. Noel just gave $50 more to the building. We're going to get all that here in a little bit. That's so sweet, Jesus. Thank you. All right. Okay, hang on a second here. I'm going through some of this stuff. Give me just a minute. Amen. Sure. All right, give me a minute. Yes. Okay, awesome. Okay, we're doing this thing, man. It's really cool. I love this. Wow. All right, Angela, that was amazing, man. That was amazing. He's settling some things, literally, legally, in the spirit realm that have already been yours because Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago or more, and that's belonged to you ever since then. But there's something about the fact that it's like God is literally somehow or another bringing this before the courts of heaven and applying it to your life in Jesus' name and refunding you even the things that have been the sins of the fathers that they have lost, The wealth, the blessing, the things that belong to them were stolen. God's going to return that and give it back to you. Amen. Because you're standing and you believe in God and you're obeying God. Hallelujah. All right, Robin and Keith, both give $100. Thank you, Robin. And $100 for Robin and $100 for Keith. Thank you, Jesus, for Robin. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, I declare and decree in Jesus' name, specifically over Robin's life, God, I speak to the sins of the fathers. All the things that maybe she's not even aware of. Never. How could she know? How could any of us know? When, you know, we've had all kinds of people in our life. Some end up getting saved and turn their life around. But some of them live some pretty rough lives, you know, trying to just make things happen. And they did all kinds of things to do that, not even realizing what they were doing, not even knowing that they were in sin. And all the sins of the fathers in Robin's life, God, in her bloodline, I declare and decree the cancellation of every debt. Whoa. There was specific information. Cancellation of every debt in Jesus' name. Where you don't have hanging over you, oh, I gotta pay, you know, I gotta make more money, I gotta pay more than I gotta pay for that, I'm paying for this, and I'm paying for that, and getting burdened down with a load, taking care of everybody's stuff and their money situations and feeling the carrying the load of that. In the name of Jesus, I saw a cancellation of debt that is removing that burden from you and blessing you with such faith, the faith that you already have in you, unlocking a new level of faith in you for canceling debt in Jesus' name. And things that just even in the emotional, mental realm of the enemy attacking you, making you feel like you're carrying this heavy load of take care. And people are gonna start rising up and your family and your seed is gonna be blessed where they're gonna get jobs and blessings and money where that load will not feel like it's yours. You're not gonna feel like well, what if that falls apart? I'm gonna take care of that because I wanna take care of my family. I see God blessing your family, your seed, so that they're gonna end up, you know, saying, hey, Mom, what do you need? We got an extra $1,000 or two. What do you want? And blessing you in Jesus' name because your seed is blessed. God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless your seed. Why did he choose Abraham? Abraham, number one, was going to obey him, but also there was a special reason because it's something, somehow or another, his genetic code and seed had not been defiled as much as others. Amen. And so he called Abraham, and he said, I'm going to bless your seed. So the same thing with you in Jesus' name. But Abraham had covenanted in you, Robin, in Jesus' name. I speak it over your seed, that your seed will be blessed. Multiplied and increased as the sands of the seashore. In other words, high-level blessing. In Jesus' name. Yes. Yes, I got Sharonda's. I prayed over Sharonda already. Yeah. I already prayed over Sharonda. Thank you. Thank you for that. You might go back and listen to it. Sorry. I think I prayed you were right in line and you gave it about some of us on that level of money, and then I prayed over it right then. Hallelujah, Sharonda. Wait till you hear it. It's really cool. Yeah. All right. Man,
I mean, I just saw that in the spirit, Robin. Oh, my goodness. I just saw that in the spirit. Your seed, God speaking, like when Abraham lifted up Isaac, his seed, on the altar and was willing to sacrifice him, God stopped him, and he spoke a blessing over him of the bull, the ram caught in the thicket. Well, a ram is a high level, you know, a higher level, than a lamb or whatever, as a ram. Like the authority in the ram, the horns of the ram caught in the thicket, like the power of God. And he spoke it over his seed, that your seed is going to be blessed and multiplied and increased. So, Lord, I speak over Robin's seed, her children, her family, the families, and Jesus, and I speak blessing in Jesus. I speak prosperity. Prosperity is the will of God. Prosperity is the will of God with money. Prosperity is the will of God with healing. Prosperity is the will of God with peace. Prosperity is the will of God with getting along with our spouses and loving each other in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I speak over your seed tonight. Your seed is blessed, my God, and favored in the name of Jesus. I speak highly favored seed to you. Your seed is highly favored. And Jesus, every sin of the fathers, from even your children to those that they're married to, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, their sins are forgiven. The sins of the fathers are forgiven. And those that are not saved, the sins of the fathers are forgiven. You know what happens? If that doesn't save them, you can't save people. They have to ask Jesus in their heart. But what happens is when you speak forgiveness over the sins of the fathers and release them from it, then they go. They wake up one day and go, oh, my God, I want to get saved. Why? Because the sins of the fathers got spoken over before they ever received Jesus. Oh, they got to receive Jesus before you can do that. Oh, really? Jesus prayed and spoke healing over everybody, and none of them were saved. Don't tell me that bunch of nonsense. That religious spirit tries to talk to us. Oh, you got to be saved when you do that. No, it just helps them want to get saved. It helps them, like, get free of that bondage where they go, they see Jesus all of a sudden. I want Jesus. Mom, I want Jesus. Mother-in-law, I want Jesus. Hallelujah. I see the angels rejoicing, my God, and the bells of heaven ringing. Ringing, oh, ringing, they're singing that Robin's family is born again. Oh, Jesus, he's ringing, he's singing, he's rejoicing over Robin's seed. Lift them up to the heavens and let them soar with God forever and let them be blessed. Yes, blessed, blessed, no more curse. I need to take singing lessons, but bless God, I'm going to do it anyway. My God, my Lord and my God, as Stephen, as Thomas said, my Lord and my God. I can understand that, but I want to say something. My Lord and my God. It's amazing. Lord, pray over Keith and I go. We speak into Keith's life. We speak the riches and the graces of your compassion and your mercies and your love, God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, that he's bowing to the King of Kings, that he's bowing to the Lord of Lords, that he's saying, God, I belong to you, you belong to me, I am yours, you are mine, I want everything that belongs, I don't want to come short of the glory, I don't want to come short of using my mind to the fullness of that I can, my body, my heart, the giftings you've given me, I don't want to come short in giving you the glory. God, I thank you that I don't want to come short. I hear Keith saying, I don't want to come short in giving you the glory. I don't want to give the glory to other things. I want to give the glory to you, God. You are the glory of my life. Hallelujah. You are my stronghold, my blessing. You are my strong man. You are the one who fights my fight for me. God, and I thank you for showing Keith how to let you fight his fights. His fights are better. Your fights for him. Yeah. Something like that. In Jesus' name. It's the battle is the Lord's, in other words, in the name of Jesus. Let it be done right now by the power of God. Yeah. Amen. Fight this one. I want to hear God say this anymore. You don't have to be no fighting in this arena. I'm going, okay. That's awesome, God. I'll take some of that.
Hallelujah. Wow, 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 wow. In the name of Jesus. Bianca, $140. Thank you, Bianca, for that. And that building fund, thank you for that. $140. Thank you, Jesus. We got a lot of 140s tonight. Several 140s. That's cool. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that $140, that building fund money. Bianca, 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 God is allowing you to begin to build your own life, the life he's given you. He said that you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And I declare and decree that the life you have cannot be stopped. It cannot be hindered. The only thing that stops it is the curse of the flesh, the curse. The things that curses are not just like some witch cursing you. Curses are more of somebody sinning and never getting it right with God and passing it down to the next generation. And I decree and declare over Bianca, over your blood, over your bloodline, in Jesus' name, that you are forgiven. Your bloodline is forgiven. In Jesus' name, everything passed down that comes short of the glory of the fullness of God for your life, in Jesus' name, I speak you are released. I speak get up and walk. Your sins are forgiven you in Jesus' name, the sins of your fathers. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Walk with God. Walk in the financial realm. Walk in your gifts. Walk in your talents. Walk in freedom. Walk in marriage. Walk in Jesus' name. Walk in the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Walk in friendship with God. I see you walking and holding hands with Jesus as your best friend. The lover of your soul. Hallelujah. And being free and not some religious worship, not some religious thing, but a friendship of holding hands with Jesus and walking down the street with him. And everybody's going, isn't that Jesus with Bianca? Isn't he the King of Glory? Isn't that Jesus walking with, is that Bianca? That's Bianca, ain't it? Honey, is that Bianca? Yeah, oh yeah, it's Bianca, all right. Is she walking down the street with Jesus? I mean, it's like God is proud of you. He's glad to be seen with you. He loves being seen with you. He wants people to see the favor of God that he's put on your life. Hallelujah. Jesus. Kisa prafurde que vende monsota. It's easy. It's not some hard thing, I'm going to have to fast and pray to walk with God. No, it's like you grab his hand and go. Let him enjoy you, Bianca. Let Jesus enjoy you. Let Jesus enjoy you, Bianca. He already does. Let him do it more. Walking with Jesus. He frees us from everything. Oh, let it dream, let it dream. Hallelujah. Moschikaralaro cornere di ducu. Otabai, may you prophesy to your seed and tell your seed to come forth in Jesus' name with glory. Hallelujah. Generation children in the glory of the Father. Stephanie from Illinois, $140, another 140. Hallelujah, Stephanie. Oh, Stephanie. When I say Stephanie, you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing the Lord say, Stephanie has a knee. She's on her knee. Like Watchman Nee was a great, mighty warrior. I don't know if you even know who Watchman Nee is. He's a great, mighty man of God. Stephanie, when I said Stephanie just now, I saw you like in a prayer posture on the inside. Yeah, you can have it on the outside too, of course, but it's on the inside. You have a prayer posture from heaven on the inside. You're bowing down on the inside. Some people just bow down on the outside. They go to church, they bow down on the outside. On the inside, they're somewhere else. No, not you. No, not you, Steph. No, you're on the knee. You got the knee on the inside. It's the inward knee bowing to thee. Bowing to thee. Mm-hmm. Yeah. bowing the knee to be free. You're not free on the inside. You're not free. God is going to cause you to be some religious, self-righteous, and doing everything on the outside like most people do. I think they do it sincerely. They don't really know any better. But you're going to do from the inside. You're going to serve him from your knees. You're a God that tells me you're a servant. Jesus fell on his knees, and he washed the feet of his disciples, saying, if you want to be great, get down on your knee like Stephanie, like me and Stephanie, and wash the feet. Hallelujah. Watch me pour my glories through Stephanie, because I've given her inside knees, given her an inside to the inside of the knees, the knee, bowing the knee. You're a worshiper, Stephanie. God's called you to worship him, not just worship him and sing in tongues. I'm talking about worshiping him in everything you do. When you give money, you're like, God, I just love you. Thank you, Jesus. That's my $140. Woo-ha! I love you, Jesus. Thank you. It's not like, okay, God, I better do this. I better give my tithe. No, it's like, hallelujah. I can't wait to give this to Jesus. Oh, God, what am I doing? I don't know, my God, but it's amazing. And I see this immune thing, immunity. You know, I don't know if that's immunity. What's immunity mean? I know it's like immune system. Immunity, okay. The ability of an organism to resist a particular infection. Oh, that's immune. Okay, that's immune. An infection or toxin by the action of specific antibodies or sensitized white blood cells. Immunity to certain things. Immunity. You have an immunity. You have an immunity to a resistance. Your organisms to resist particular infections or toxins. Wow. In other words, there's certain antibodies that are in your body, Stephanie, that are going to resist sickness and disease and just things. Wow, that means that your bloodline, your genetic code, or your genes or your DNA is creating this antibiotic thing. And here's another similar immunity, protection or exemption from something, especially an obligation or penalty. Immunities. That's immunities, right? Just look at the word right there. If you want, you get a chance to look it up. The rebels were given immunity from prosecution. Right? Like God's given you an immunity. Yeah. Okay. There's something about that. Amen. Amen. Probably because you're a worshiper. So what you do and everything you do it as unto the Lord. That's worship. That's worship. And God's going to give you a voice to worship him too. Because your heart is there and God's loosening your voice. Yeah. Amen. Nicole, $140. There's another 140. That's several 140s tonight. Awesome, man. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. Lord, I thank you for that 140 bucks. I thank you, God, for that blessing. Lord, I thank you for the satisfaction. God says, I'm going to satisfy you, Nicole. Satisfaction. He wants you to be satisfied. He wants you to be pleased. You know, he wants you to be giving you, when you have displeasure towards something, you know, many times that displeasure is not just some fleshly carnal thing, but it's displeasure because God wants you to seek him to bring, to bring pleasing to that thing, whatever it is, to be pleased with it. Like what the things that Jesus did, that the people did for Jesus, it pleased him. Like when the woman who had great faith and said, Lord, heal my daughter. And he said, I can't, you're a Gentile, you know, you're Canaanite. And I didn't come here. I can't give the children to you. And she says, well, Lord, but, you know, I can't give the bread to the dogs, you know. He said, well, you know, the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And that just pleased Jesus. That just satisfied him. He's like, wow, that satisfied him. And when he satisfied her. So your faith is like that, Nicole. Your faith is like, but I eat the crumbs from the master's table. It's like you know, it's like that there's something about your faith that pleases Jesus. Pleases Jesus. You pleases Jesus. Oh, do you please us, Jesus? Because Jesus pleases us, and we pleases Jesus. You know, please Jesus pleases, P-L-E. How do you spell pleases? P-L-E-A-S-E-S, pleases. Jesus pleases us, and pleased that woman, because that woman pleases him. So Jesus pleased with her, and therefore he pleased her. Wow. It's the pleasure, the pleasing, I've never seen such faith, not in any Jew, like this woman, you know, like the other guy, Captain, yeah, an amazing faith. Hallelujah. Bringing great pleasure. Your faith brings pleasure to the Lord. Therefore, the Lord's going to make, you know, he's going to answer your prayers. Amen. He loves your faith. And when you're displeased with something, it causes you to seek pleasure about it. Like she was very displeased with her daughter being sick and have a demon or whatever it was. And that displeasure brought her to the only one who could please her, and that was Jesus. Jesus, oh, please us, oh, please us, oh, Jesus, please, please us. Jesus, please us. Please do this for me. I'll eat the bread, the crumbs from the master's table. Hallelujah. Donald and Tanya, $140 building fund. Amen. There's $280 right there. Add it to your account, my brother, my sister. Shikara moha pa ye aroha ka pani, 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 pani. I see you getting new languages in the spirit. I see your tongue, you know, like when you pray in the spirit, I see you get new tongues, new languages, new words. That was happening to me driving down the road yesterday. I kept hearing all these new words coming up out of my prayer language. I go, man, And I know what's going on with that. That means God's expanding you. He's lengthening your cords of faith, lengthening your territory. And I see God giving you new words. It could be a whole bunch of words. It's just, when God extends your language or adds to it, that means he's adding to your territory. He's increasing and multiplying you. He's extending you, increasing you. That's a sign. One of the signs when you start hearing different words come out of your mouth as you pray in tongues and different languages, you just listen really close to them. I've been praying in tongues for years. It's one of the things I love to do, and I pay a lot of attention to it when it changes and all that. So pay really attention to that, fellas. I'm sure you do. And watch as a language, because it's extending the cords of your faith or whatever, your territory. Yeah. Yeah, and it may already be happening. You don't know it. Maybe you do know it. But either way, that's what's happening. That gets expanded in the spirit first and then in the natural. And then you just walk into it and take it. You don't have to beat your head against the wall trying to get it. Walk in and take it. Walk in and take it. Walk in. And I see you just walking in and taking it. Just walking in and taking it. Just walking in and taking it. Yeah. Don't have to work it. Just walk in and take it. Walk in and take it. Hold on. Hold on and walk in and take it. Walk in and take it. Don't have to fake it. No, you just walk in and I'll take it. I have way too much fun. This is so much fun. When you guys, when you flow like, you know, when you flow with all the guys, man, there's nothing like it. I mean, there's just nothing like it. I wish it for every person. I literally do. I wish it for every person. I dream it for every person. I literally do. I wish it for you, and you too, and you too, and you too, and you too, on your YouTube. All right, Tanya. Maha, 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 maha. Well, see, there I am, going in tongues, right? Talking to you. Maha, maha. That sounds like it's Jewish. That sounds, maha, maha, maha. I'm not sure what that is. That's Hebrew. That's Hebrewish. I know one of my tongues is definitely Hebrew because I had a guy in a Palestinian, a saved Palestinian, and picked me up to see the Galilee, taking me to Lebanon up there driving it. And he just got saved, and he was, you know, Hebrew was his main language. And he said, "Oh, this is Pedro, Randy." I go, "Sir, brother, whatever I was in the front seat with him." And we were driving up there to meet some pastors. You know, and so let's pray. I said, "Okay." I start praying like I always do, you know. I didn't hold back because I didn't know what. I'm Rosh Shek Rebo Baba, in the name of Jesus, I pray in English, pray in tongues. He said, "Oh, you know Hebrew." I go, "Hebrew? No, I don't know any Hebrew." He said, "Well, my main language is Hebrew. And you're speaking in perfect Hebrew." I went, "Cool, man. What was I saying? Tell me." And he told me, man, Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father. He said, "That's what my spirit man was saying." Isn't that awesome? I love that stuff. So, you know, there's something going on, Tanya, with your tongue, with y'all's tongue, obviously. On another level. Authority over the devil. Sing a new song. Worshiping alone. Being alive. Taking a deep dive into the riches. You ever been scuba diving? I've been scuba diving at Cozumel. I mean, Cancun. Cancun? Yeah. A few times. Many years ago. And it's something awe-striking about being under that water and, like, feeling the awesomeness of, like, this is way too much for me. It's kind of scary, sort of. It's, like, awe-striking. That's what I see diving into the Lord and getting this awesome awareness of the awesomeness, huge bigness of God. Like it never ends. Your faith just taking hold of it. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done, God. All right, Angel of Joy, $150 building fund. There's right there. Boom. Just like that. Without having to do anything. We just say BF. Building fund. Boom. $300. Just like that. Boom. I think I have more like 5,000 this week, looks like, with all the building fund stuff. Cool, man. And, well, I haven't actually added it up yet, but it's somewhere around 5,000 now, I think. Our angel joy, change. You know, I just saw this picture in my spirit of a fisherman out fishing. And I don't know if you're familiar with fishing at all. Maybe you are, maybe not. But and I've never done this myself, but I've heard of it, where fishermen go out and they put these, you know, put bait like in these little net things, and they put them down and they identify them with little bobbler things at the top of the water. So they know where they put their put it and net it down, several of them, and it catches fish. It catches fish, and they kind of put them all over the place. Wherever they think the fish are, they put them there, and, you know, several of them, and they, you know, then they come back the next day or maybe later that afternoon or something. I don't know when they come back because I've never done this personally, but I've heard it. And so it's like they could put several of them out all the place. They could have them out for miles, I guess, you know. And they come back and, you know, some of them have a lot of fish, some of them don't. But they're spread out and they're, you know, different places in different places. So what I saw was like you in the spirit having done these thing where you put out all these different things, you know, to catch fish and to catch things and to catch the blessing, and you have them spread out everywhere, and it's not just in one place, but you have them kind of all these different places, and all of a sudden, you know, I mean, you show up, you know, a few hours later, the next day or whatever, and, you know, the thing's got fish. I mean, oh, my gosh, all kinds of fish, from lobster to crab. I mean, all kinds of things, and they're in there, in those nets, and it's just like, you know, the thing is that you didn't just have getting blessing from one area. It's like you had your blessing spread out. Your receiver is like spread out all over the place. You just come in, you know, take the blessing, dump it in the boat, put more bait in the net thing, whatever you call it, thing, put it back down in there, and, you know, start all over again. Yeah, but I, the key was, I saw, what I saw was like, and the expression of the Lord was that she has many, many blessings spread out all over the place that are coming back to you, like cast your bread upon the waters, and it will come back to you every many days. Kind of like that. You know, and I saw you like, you know, those things being full of blessings, of fish, of treasures. Yeah. And the cool thing was it wasn't just one area. It was like several areas. I don't even know what that means exactly. Several different areas of your life. And I'm not sure what it is, but it's really cool. Widespread. Yeah, and like you reaping that in really an amazing, cool way. And then you weren't just putting your marbles on one game. How do you say that? You weren't just putting your money in one spot. You were doing it. You had several investments going on, of, you know, blessings. I just try to explain it the best I can. I hope that makes sense. But you're about to see those things, you know, be filled up and pulled up out of the water. And, oh, my gosh, look here. Look what I got. God brought me. Blessings, 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 blessings. Amen. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, $332 and then $560. And the $560 is building fund. Right there, that just turned into double that. $1,120, $720, just like that with that one thing. Now, see that? I mean, that's what's going on with this. That's why this is unique. It's not like there's a time element set and you have to do it within a 24-hour period. You know, that's just the way it's working. It's different than most mass things. And, you know, I don't know how we got into that exactly, but that's how it ended up working out. Even Noel kept saying, even though I want to give him $500, I want to take care of that. I want to take care of that one. I'm going, girl, you're taking care of, you know, whatever. Come on. We're doing it. Thank you, Jesus. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Blossom. 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 Building fun. Blossom. Yeah. So I thank you, Lord, for that. And I think for Tanisha, God, I thank you, God, for her testimony, God, breeding a generation of Canaanite victories, breeding a brood, breeding a crew, breeding a, you know, like a generation of possessing the land, possessing houses, possessing the homes. Because once you break it, it's like I see you guys, you're breaking through into something. And you're breaking through into something. And it's like once you break through it, you know, like some people, once they make $1 million, it's like $1 million is easy to make. You know what I'm saying? It's like I see that. It's like I see you breaking into it. Like once you break into it, you go, man, wow, I don't know how we did that, but thank you, Jesus. Like now it's like easy. We don't know how that happened. And it's like this easy, easy, easy. You know, houses and homes, property, houses and homes. Yeah. Yeah, houses and homes. You know, it's like you're breaking into it by your faith, by your obedience. You got to go back and hear that testimony of Tanisha's. It was really powerful. And so God just, somehow or another, if I can explain this correctly, It's like when you step, like I shared with you what I saw when you were sharing your testimony, Tanish. I just called you Tanish. Well, I've never done that before. What is that, Tanish? Maybe that's your new name. Hey, Tanish. Tanish. Hey, Tanish. Tanish. What you doing, Tanish? Well, check that out. I'm not sure what Tanish is. That sounds really cool. As I was hearing you give your testimony Tuesday night, about an hour into the show, maybe 30 minutes into the show, 40 minutes, whatever. And I just saw you, like, I don't know, activating the Word of God. You're activating the Word of God. You and Terrence, you know, you're sharing your testimony, so I was seeing that with you. You were like stepping out of the boat and walking on the water. And what you did, you go, it's like you kind of went, whoa, man, wow, that was easier than I thought. What happened? Oh, look what God did. Oh, look what God did. Look what God did. I'm walking on the water. Look, I'm walking on the water. I'm walking on the water, y'all. Look. Oh, my God. I'm walking on the water. Oh, I'm walking on the water. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm walking on the water. Oh, it's so sweet. Just walking on the water. Not as hard as I thought it was. Just to keep my eyes on the Word of God. Yeah. You know, and it's like you just broke through into this thing like, oh, my God, I never know this is easy. It's like you labor to enter in, and once you enter in, it's like, got in here, now I'm here. Like, finally when you get to Canaan land, you've entered in, you're like, oh, man, I'm here. Like, wow, that wasn't as hard as I thought. It's like, once we're here, you're like, wow, we could have been here a long time ago or something maybe. I don't know. Like, whoa, cool. Like something broke. Something got loosed. And I'm going to tell you something, girl. Tear and Tanish. Like a holy terror from God, you know, that is. The yoke, the anointing that destroys terror, tears up the yoke in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Terrorizes the yokes. Terrorize. Well, we just send a terrorizing on the yokes that are trying to be put on your children, God, to other people, whoever, whatever. We send a terrorizing yoke to be put on those that are trying to touch your people, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So it's like you broke, you labored, and then you enter in, and you go, wow. Like, you know, once you get something, you go, man, I don't know why I didn't get that, like, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Houses, oh my God, now it's like nothing. Bing, 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 like popcorn, they start popping in. Yeah. Hallelujah. And it makes sense that you labor to enter in, but once you enter in, you're in. Like you knock. You knock, and then once you enter in, you're in. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're going, that was worth the labor, because now that I'm here, it's like, whoa, dude, this is easy. Now I see what it means. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My burden is light. I don't have to fight. The Lord fights my fight for me. I just do what I see him do. Yes, yeah. I hear you saying, yes, 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 yes. It shall be. Yay, it is. Yay, it is. Yay, it is done. Yay, it is finished. Yay. Corricoma. I just saw that in the spirit. I saw it like, you know, you finally broke through that last thing. Boom, and I'm in. We're in now, man. We're in. Dude, you believe we're in? We're in. We're in the promised land. We finally got here. Oh, it was quite a terror, but we're now here. No more errors. We're here in obedience to God. Like, man, why was that so difficult? It wasn't. Once we saw it, it's like, now that's it. Like, it's easy. But it was difficult getting there. It's like, wow, the battle, though. It was a raging battle, and the devil did not want you. The devil tried to stop you and discourage you and beat you down because he knew that once you tasted of a Canaan land, once you tasted of the land and the promise and being having your own land, having your own promise, once you tasted that, that it was kiss that sucker goodbye. Hasta la vista, you slime bag. I'm at the devil. Yeah, you tried to hold me back, but here I am. Whoa! Glory to God. The victory is in your being. It's the sweet that satisfies the soul, makes you whole. Hallelujah. Let it ring throughout the land. Me and my man have entered in to the promised land. Hallelujah. Shoko Bahuka. God's going to make it a showboat. So other people can go, man, you know, you mean like once you got there, like you know, it was easy? Like now you're thinking like, you know, the enemy just tried to make it look harder than it really was? And you're going to go, yeah, he really made it look harder than it really was. And, man, did he ever make it look like it was hard? Because the enemy sends people to oppress you, to discourage you, to keep attacking you, keep attacking you. Just like what happened when they were trying to build the temple. What happened who was it building the temple? Got it. So the Sennacherib or whatever, what was their name? You know, attacking them and telling them, you can't build the temple. You have authority to build that temple. You can't build that temple. Kept trying to legally take them down. Nehemiah. Remember? The Sanballat. I haven't read this in a while, but I think it was Sanballat. They kept, you know, harassing them. And once they get the temple built, it was like, hasta la vista, Rita. You're out of here. We're in. You're out. But the first season, they had to build with one hand and fight with the other. Yeah. Makota. Suri Baba. Mo'aba. Yeah. Shannon said, that's good, I know. It's good. And the Lord's doing it, brother, it is good. When Randy just does it by himself, it's not all that crazy. When the Lord's doing it, it's like Mufaba. You ever see The Lion King? You know, I don't even know who Mufaba was. I can't even but I just keep hearing the word Mufaba. It reminds me of some guy on there. Somebody on there. Oh, Shikaro Mohawka. Yeah, somebody's enjoying it. I know everybody's enjoying it, but it's cool, man. All right, Noella. Start calling you Noella. $50 building fund, and I think what's $100 building fund? You already know. Second here, please. Building fund, yes. Little by little, we don't despise small beginnings. Yes, Noelle in California. He sends thumbs up and hearts and all that. I just love it, man. Jesus is so good. And he was from the hood back in Nazareth. He came out, turned on the glory spout when he came out. Poured out the glory, because he didn't walk short. He didn't walk short of the glory. Hallelujah. Noel, Noella. I don't even know what Noella means. It means anything. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Shiko Bama Barota Peke 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 Boka Motamo Chengedo. I just saw somebody's tongue being cut off. Now, somebody's tongue being cut off. So I know that's not God's people. That's something to do with the enemy. Like some enemy thing, situation, you know, he says every tongue. If we can change that scripture, every tongue that rises against you shall be cut off. I literally saw in the spirit, as I'm praying over you, Noel, a tongue being cut off. It could be enemy trying to condemn you. The more you try to walk in the supernatural, you find out real quick. That's why I take communion every day. The more you try to walk in the supernatural and be free, the more condemnation tries to tell you, oh, who do you think you are? You can't do that. What do you, you know, those words aren't real. That's not happening. Condemnation, man. Yeah. Yeah. And so I saw that tongue being cut off, whatever that tongue specifically is. I'm not sure. I think condemnation may be, condemnation is a lot more against people who try to walk in the spirit than anybody else. I mean, he really attacks you when you try to walk in the supernatural or walk in supernatural blessings. Oh, you know, you're not going to ever do that. It's just a dream. You're just faking it. You know, and I just saw the Holy Ghost cutting his tongue off. Amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for giving Noel a new tongue, a new tongue of authority, a new words. I speak the prophetic flow in you in Jesus' name. Sometimes you just talk to people about things. Hey, Randy, why don't we just do a match thing, you know? You didn't realize it, but that was prophetic. Prophetic. And so whatever is because it was God, it was spoke something into existence. You can't just speak things into existence because you can't take a scripture and just take that scripture and speak that into existence. That's the time to God yourself. But when God gives you something, gives you a desire, a thought, you do that, you say that, that becomes prophetic. That becomes creative words. That becomes living words. And those living words, when those living words are released, they get out and they start bringing things to life. They travel. They're alive. They're like creatures. They're like beings. They're not angels, but words are not angels. But those words that are prophetic become, somehow I don't know how to explain this, but they become beings or living creatures from God that do, really cool things. Yeah, and they get on people and endue people with power. They endue people with the ability to do something. They endue means you can do. You get endued with power. That means you can do it with the power. So you get endued with power. Yeah. And so I thank you, Jesus, for those words. I thank you, Lord, for those words that come. And those words, when those words come back to you, oh, my God, hit major, press down, prophesying, comes back to you. Why do you think God blesses me? Yeah. I get so much information from heaven. I'd rather have that than have money. I'd rather have that than have anything. I mean, I understand how Solomon felt. I literally do. I understand how Solomon felt because once you get into the flow of God's wisdom and revelation, it's what I call prophetic, you don't care. I mean, you can live on the street, man. It's just like you never do. God, give me wisdom to give to your people. Give me your prophetic. Asking God for the greatest gift, which is prophecy or the prophetic, builds up people. And that's what God loved about Solomon. Solomon was actually asking for prophetic revelation. That was the Old Testament was saying wisdom. You know, I'm just saying this stuff. But in the New Testament, it is like prophetic revelation is wisdom from heaven. It's the same thing. It's not any different. And literally, I mean, I can understand why God's going to bless us because literally, I don't really want anything with that. I'm not into money. I don't really care. I mean, it's great. I'll take it if God brings it, but it'd be awesome. Let's use it for the kingdom. You know, just give me, what I want, which isn't much. You know, it doesn't take much to make me happy. It doesn't take much to make me happy. As long as I have that wisdom flowing through me for God's people, even if I'm just giving it to three people or five people, I don't care. Just one person. When I was giving wisdom today, that prophetic flow today was with Jeannie over the text and just, you know, reading Revelation. Yeah, I get more off of that than I do off having. I can, you know, I don't even, you can't compare that to wealth. It's not even comparable to wealth. Driving around in a fancy car and all that. That'd be cool. I mean, you know, it'd be all right. I would reject it, but I'm just not seeking after it. I can understand how Solomon felt. I'm prophesying to you, Noel. You know I have a crowd about you, right? So, you know, when you start seeing the transition of why God told him, you know, what do you want? Well, first of all, he gave 1,000 bulls the day before that. Bulls are a big, big deal. He gave 1,000 bulls the day before. But then it wasn't because he just gave the offering, the money, or the bulls. Bulls were the wealth. It was a sign of wealth. And 1,000 bulls was a lot of wealth. And he didn't have to give 1,000 bulls to God. He could have given 50. That would have been a lot. No, he gave 1,000. And guess what, man? You know, and then God said, yeah, kind of make God excited. You know, God kind of got excited. But what really excited him wasn't just the bulls that he gave to God, 1,000, which was amazing. Can you imagine working that? Bulls are not small, but big. Can you imagine being the priest, and wore up in priest, and had a bunch of priests deal with 1,000 bulls? What a barbecue, man. It's amazing. But God was pleased with that. But what got God's eyes, like Jesus with the woman, the bread thing from the master table, that impressed him, what impressed God was that one thing. He says, give me wisdom, God. That's what I want. You know, to me, it's saying the same thing when you say, you know, all I literally care, literally God is my witness and the people that know me know that I don't really care about much of anything else as far as, you know, got to have it, got to have it. Just give me more of this, God. Bless your people, to increase them, to build them up. And God says, yeah, Randy, yeah, what do you want, Randy? How about a nice studio for God's people? I mean, yeah. What do you do? You bring something nicer than I could have thought. If we're not in there yet. We don't own it yet. But we're on our way. And he's keeping it for us somehow or another. Yeah. I mean, that is Solomon's temple. It's nice as that place is. For me, it is. And I can take it or leave it. I mean, I could, you know, God wants to give it and refuse it. You know, he wants to increase the bulk. I don't ask for the heads of my enemies. I don't ask for the heads of my enemies. I don't ask for that. But he gives it to me without asking. Right? Because I don't ask. Let them go. Forgive them. You know, there you go, Noel. That's what God's putting in you. All right, Shannon, $10. Connect and hang out with the woman. One way or another, I believe it leads to something really good and financial blessing. Yes, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God. Hallelujah. Love and ability to have fellowship. You know, God so wanted Adam to be, you know, Adam was just craving somebody to have to share everything with. It's not about, you know, it's about sharing, having somebody to share it with. You ever had something really exciting going and you have nobody to tell? You get in the store at the restaurant, I mean, get in the in the store shopping, going to the grocery shopping and get in the line. You don't even know the person, start telling them all your stuff. Is going to tell somebody. It's so exciting. Just share it with somebody. That's what that is. It's like something to share your life. You know, somebody to share it with them that will enjoy it and go, wow, that's really awesome. God's really blessed me. Yeah. You go back and look back. That's sharing. That's loving. That's beautiful. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. And bless him financially, God. So that sometimes money can become an advertisement of, you know, I'm blessed, man. You see this? Hey, you want some of this? I'm blessed. Okay. All right, Greg, $20. Thank you, Greg, in Jesus' name, for that 20. We just bless you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for considering, you know, how what the things that that Greg should consider in his life, God, that God says, you know, everything that's fought you, Greg, is to get you to compromise with the lesser glory of God. God's saying, I don't want you to have the lesser glory. I want you to have the not the good will of God, not the acceptable will of God, but the perfect will of God. That's where Jesus walked in. And in order to do that, you're going to need 100% of your mind, or at least, you know, whatever, on the way. You know, if you have 30%, you're doing really good. I want you to have the perfect will of the Father. Jesus, everywhere he went, everybody he touched got healed, everybody got delivered. That's the goal that is set before us. The goal that is set before us is that, to consider that. Consider it. Just consider it, the Lord says. You can have good and acceptable, and God's good and acceptable is pretty, really rocking hot. But you want flabbergasted, amazing, beyond anything you could ask me to imagine, and you want to go the perfect will of the Father. And Jesus, the reason I know there is a perfect will and one that's not, because the disciples, when they try to pray for people, sometimes they got delivered, sometimes they didn't. The Father would come, hey, Jesus, how come your disciples try to cast them out? But when you do, it just happens. Why? Because he walked in 100-fold. He walked in the perfect will of God. Now, I finally went back and forth with that. Is there a perfect will of God or not? Or a good and acceptable will of God or not? And that explained it to me in a way that at least I got it. There is good and acceptable. And there is perfect, because Jesus was an example of perfect. And I don't know anybody watching that. I walk in good and acceptable somewhere in there. But I want perfect. And God doesn't want you to lower your goals. Consider it. Consider this, Greg. 100-fold blessing. Amen, in Jesus' name. God's not going to let you rest. That's not going to let you have anything. He's not saying, I'm not going to let you rest until you get it all. I want you to come short of the glory. Amen. You're not going to come short of the glory. Nicole, $8.88. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that creative power, God, the creative power. Faith, with faith and the word, you know, putting words into action, it's what creates things. Sometimes God needs to create things. Like, everything that was created through the word, through Jesus, through Christ. John chapter 1 says that nothing that was created without the word. It's all through the word. So, you know, and the word together, it works. Putting things in action is what creates. And so God is giving you strength and desire and passion to step into the creative power, to understand what the creative power of God is. Number one, it's the will of God. It's got to be the will of God. Number two, it's the will of God always has a word to it, and it has faith action to bring it to pass as far as in the personal level. So God's showing you 888 is like God has to be God's will. Then you get a word on it, like Peter says, Lord, do I come to you? And Jesus said, come on, that was the word. And then what Peter did, he stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. 888. Yeah. Creation, God opened up an ability, created an opening for him to literally walk on water. That is absolutely amazing. One of the greatest miracles in the Bible is walking on water, as far as showing authority and power. God showing you how things are created. Jesus, the Father was the one, I think, what I always say, the Father is the one who had the will. He knew what he wanted, and he through the Word, through Christ, they all work together, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Father, then the Word. And then through the Word, he created it. It's spoken, and the Holy Spirit is the one who actually put it into action. So just like they did it, it's how it works with us. The Father's will, you know, get a word, do the Word, and then put it into action. And it is created. And then those three things have to be. That's the three main elements. You can have everything else, but if you don't have those three together on something, not going to happen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added to you, added or created. All right. Awesome. Okay. Checking out things here. I think we're almost finished tonight. Yeah, I think we're done. No more offerings through the app. All right, cool, man. Cool. Okay, it's 12:11. Almost 12:12. All right, we're going to call it a night tonight. God bless everybody, and thank you for time. I'm going to call it a night. I'm like, wow. Just been a wild and crazy week. Thank you for all your love. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for the building fund situation. And thank God for everybody who's, you know, doing that to not just increase for PGN, but also to increase for yourself, because you get credit for that. You know, in my eyes, as far as the way God showed me, it works. Yeah. So there you go. Amazing. And so God's given us opportunity to walk in and double, to walk in that the double anointing. And then like Elisha with Elijah, that double. All right, everybody, call it a night. God bless you. We will see you next week, right? Okay? All right, bye-bye.